Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and guess what? Jeremy is a little hot tonight. Shit's about to go down for real. Yeah, yeah, I'm not fucking around tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I just got off the phone just like 5 minutes ago with some of the people's convoy, and some of them are on the line, on hold, and I'm going to bring them on here very shortly. There's a lot of things that have transpired in Jeremy's world and in your world, and tonight we are going to bring the truth. Whoa, 1 second. I'm looking at my switchboard, and we already have somebody that wants to come on and say something already. I usually don't do this, but tonight, entertain me. What would somebody possibly have to say before we start the show? By the way, let me just start the show by saying I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, the Disrespected Trucker, And I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, brother?
You know what? I am stepping up. I am totally prepared. I am going to be the ringmaster of this shit show, the moderator. I want everybody to stay in their corners until motioned out onto the floor. At that time, well, let the fighting commence. And I will do my best to keep it a fair fight. And if we can't keep it a fair fight, you'll be dismissed back to your corners. That's it.
Hey,
the official shit show ringmaster is out.
I just want CNN to take some notes and realize this is how you get ratings. You have a little bit of drama.
Now, well, I think
listen,
we already
ladies and gentlemen,
have more callers. We have more callers in our queue than there are people watching CNN Plus. So we're doing good.
That's the truth. And listen, CNN and everybody else, I don't do these shows. We don't do these shows for drama. We do this to speak the truth, whatever on our mind. And tonight happens to be Truth Night, really, really big Truth Night. So let's just get right to it. I'm not going to fuck around anymore tonight. And excuse my language. I'm not here to offend you either. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And you can listen to me, and you can agree with me, and you don't have to agree with me. I don't give a shit. Let's just go right to the person that's got their hand up. Because that intrigued me right away. I'm like, why do you have your hand up? I haven't talked about nothing yet. And Chris hasn't talked about nothing yet. But you got something to say? I'm all ears. Let's go for it. Hey, 8268, you're on air. What do you got to say?
Mr. Johnson, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Can you
Who's
hear
this?
Me?
Yes,
Chuck
I can hear you.
Biddles.
Who's this?
Chuck Biddles, also known as Chuck Yourself Shop on Facebook.
Oh,
also known
my
as co-founder of Black Smoke Matters. Also known is that crazy motherfucker that's bad just about fucking enough.
I thought you were in an insane asylum.
No, I'm out now.
No, I'm getting close. I'm getting close.
I'm out now. I'm doing pretty good. I've been staying out of trouble. I've actually, me and Jeremy's had some talks. We actually talked today, and I've been laying low and laying quiet and kind of watching what I say, because like we all talk about, we have been hated on. We have been attacked. Like I told Jeremy today, I was actually attacked by BLM. 2 years ago, a year and a half ago or so, over a bunch of stuff and had my home destroyed, my business, all kinds of crazy shit. So I've been kind of laying low, and so much shit has been coming out, being said, and no evidence, no papers, no nothing. And down in things, whether I agree with it or not, or agree with what the people are doing or not, that's a big problem with God. Everybody's so worried about everybody else's business instead of stepping up and helping or just shutting the fuck up.
You want to know something? You want to know something really cool tonight, Chuck? I have Mike Landis that is on hold, and I have Ross Justice who is on hold. Should I have both of them in at the same time, and let's just get this fucking party started?
Yeah, hell, might as well. Might as well put the haters to rest and everybody else and draw the ones out we need to and just let them know how the fuck it is.
All right. So... Oh, we got another. Hold on. We got another person that put their hand up. Before I get to Ross and before I get to Mike, let me get to this person. I'm going to bring him on air right now. And 3946, you are on air. What do you have to add to this conversation? Who's this?
I'll wait. I'll wait patiently on Mike and Ross.
Who do we have here?
This is a surprise guy, one of the... this is a surprise guest here. Like, you told me to call you about 5 minutes ago.
You guys are going to like this too, Chuck. Let's just be quiet for 1 second while I bring on Ross. I'm going to add him in right now, and I'm going to also add in Mike Landis right now. Mike was one of the main organizers of the People's Convoy. And you didn't see his name very much. Both Mike and Ross are both live on air now, you guys, just to let you know. And that person we just heard from, was also one of the main organizers of the People's Convoy. I just got off the phone with those guys. And what we're going to do now is we're going to speak the truth. We're going to tell you everything that you need to know about the People's Convoy and these death threats and all this bullshit going on in the background. Enough's enough. We've had enough. And now we are going to stand together, and we are going to defend each other until our dying breath. And that's my intention. So let's start this off. Ross, are you on, brother? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. So Ross, he called me the other day and let me know that he has some information about the People's Convoy. Everybody was like, oh, yep, I knew that they were stealing from people. And blah, 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 blah. In fact, the fact of the matter is the people that you were accusing and ruining their reputations had nothing to do with any wrongdoing. Isn't that right, Ross?
That's correct. That's correct. I was wrong about who was behind it all, but I was right that there was some corruption and there were some big players involved that I believe are part of the elite. And you know, really, I believe that all this was intentional to ruin the reputations of the you know, the organizers and the trucking advocates that were part of the convoy. And I'd like to, you know, clear that up, you know, so that we might be able to get something going in the future.
That would be awesome, because I think it's only right to clear up the names of those that were involved, because they made a very huge sacrifice for the American people, and they deserve to have their names cleared. Ross, what did you find out in your opinion? By the way, whatever Ross tells you, this is what he says he found out. I cannot verify this right at this time. I'm not saying that he's lying to you, but I can't mark Jeremy Johnson's stamp on that. You know what I'm saying? Because I know Yep. there's a lot of court cases pending right now for defamation of character. And the only reason I thought that it would be a good idea for Ross to come on is because I believe you. I met him down in Hagerstown, and Mike is on live on air. If you want to say hello, Mike, you're more than welcome.
Yep, appreciate you having me on here.
I appreciate you being here, man, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Should I say your name or should I not say your name? Well, one of the other organizers, we have two of the three organizers on the phone right now. Well, not two of the three. I mean, there was many organizers, but two of the three main ones. The names that have been flown out there, the names that are being persecuted, the names along with mine, Brian Brazzi, Marcus Summers, and Mike Landis, their names and mine have been drugged through the mud. Chris Young and Scott Overmiller. I can assure you tonight we're going to clear that shit up right now. And if we ever hear our names out of any of your fucking mouths again, we're going to prosecute you with an attorney. We're going to sue your ass for defamation of character. I am done. And Chris, when I talked to Chris pre-show, 15 minutes before pre-show, he's like, well, don't get upset. I've been calm long enough. I'm done. And I told Mike and I told Marcus on the phone earlier. I was on the phone with him 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. I'm done being calm. We're going to clear this shit up right now. We're all going to get cleared, or we're all going to come together and we're going to get an attorney and we're going to start suing these motherfuckers for defamation of character, because I'm done. I'm tired of it. I just want to live my life. So does Marcus. So does Mike and Brian. We just want to get on with our lives and do what we need to do. And that's what we're going to do. And if you try to interfere with that, I personally am going to seek an attorney, and I'm going to sue each and every one of you, and I'm going to make damn sure that you never live a day in peace for the rest of your fucking miserable lives. Anyway, Ross, what did you find out with the People's Convoy?
Well, looking into it, and, you know, I have to give, you know, the organizers, you know, the benefit of the doubt looking into all this because, you know, I pretty much ignored everything that's been going on in the past few months and some other events brought me back into this to where I started look into it. And of course, you know, calling people out to come out and speak the truth, you know, that's how me and Mike got in contact with each other because, you know, I kept calling him out. I kept calling everybody out because I believe that they need to come out and clear the air because the people that are involved behind this, you know, the AFLAC group, Christopher Marston, you know, I'm not saying it's their fault that they didn't look into the guy, but who he is tied to and what he's a part of, you know, it isn't for anything, you know, to do with, you know, what the movement was for. I believe that he was put in place by the elite and by the Church of Scientology to sabotage the end result of the convoy and at the same time the reputations of everyone involved.
Okay. And what do you have, what do you believe that you have on Christopher Marston?
So if you look into Christopher Marston, he is actually a member of the board of directors for the Center for Integral Wisdom. This organization is pretty much the same thing as Scientology. It pretty much mirrors it. And the people that are associated with this organization are globalist elite and the left. You know, one of the founders of the organization, Barbara Marx Hubbard, was actually the first lady in the Democratic Party to be nominated for vice president. One of the other founders, Mark Gaffney, this guy has been in the paper and in court for pedophilia. And the organizers being tied to this guy alone can ruin their reputation from anybody trusting them in the future. And as far as what he did with the money, you know, that's not for me to say. I believe that there's more money involved. I believe there's a pump and dump involved with Let's Go Brandon, the Let's Go Brandon crypto. And I believe that Lee Dundas and Christopher Marston, they were all involved in a scheme to make money for themselves and most of all the Church of Scientology.
Okay. That's, you know, okay, first of all, that is your opinion, and I that doesn't necessarily reflect the Disrespected Truckers radio show's opinion. However, it kind of does because I agree with you. Before we move on, I want you guys all to know that I did add Tony, my right-hand man from the Disrespected Trucker. He's been with me from the very beginning. He is live on air with us also. Tony, would you just say, just give a quick hi, and you can add into the conversation when you feel like it.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone.
So that's Tony. I do have Mike on here, and let's see who else I have on here. I have Chuck still on here. I still have Marcus on here. Okay.
Yes.
So we're gonna get deep into this conversation tonight. I told you I'm gonna give you the truth, and I just got done yelling at Marcus and Mike, literally screaming at them, literally, because I'm fucking tired of being attacked, and both of them at the same time said we didn't know that you're being attacked the way you are. Nobody has any idea what I've gone through for the last 6 months. And I don't have any idea what they've gone through. But tonight, we are going to set the record straight. So based off of what you just said, Ross, about Christopher Martin, Martin's,
Marston.
I want Mike to come on and spread his truth with what he knows about, the things that me and you talked about, Mike. Why don't you just come on air and why don't you just start spreading the truth? Because I think it's much needed at this point.
Yeah, it's been an eye-opening experience here and talking with Ross, and he's done a lot of research, you know, with I mean, what he told you is just kind of the tip of the iceberg from what he's been doing. And other people that were involved, some of them even worked for some of these people that have come to us. Some of them got fired since the convoy, it seems, as they're trying to cover things up. You know, but like you said, we're all being attacked at different levels, I'm sure, and in different ways. But there's a lot of false accusations being spread about everybody, anybody that had anything to do with it. And it's really, I let a lot roll off my back personally, because I know my truth and I know I lived it. I was there. These people running their mouths, they, you know, watched it through live stream or heard someone, seen a post somewhere, and they, you know, they think that's the freaking end all be all because they've seen it on social media somewhere. But, you know, I don't know what people think we stole, but if you didn't happen to notice how many vehicles were involved and it went across the country three times and what the price of diesel fuel alone is, just nothing else there, I mean, do some math, really. And, you know, like Ross said, he believes there was more raids than what we've seen. I believe there probably was, too. We don't know that, because we didn't do that, okay? That group he mentioned, we call it AFLAC, and disclaimer, it has nothing to do with actual AFLAC. It just, that's right. How we remember the freaking letters that are the acronyms for it. You know, they did all that. And they never once let us know, and we got pretty heated with them, what was actually coming in. That ticker on the website was manually updated. It wasn't an automatic ticker as people donated. It didn't go up. Someone had to actually go in and do it. So we don't know. All we can go off of is the same thing everybody else can actually go off of. You know, and the thing is we're all just normal people. We're truck drivers, for crying out loud. We all know each other. You know, you and me, Jeremy, Marcus, Tony, Chris, through trucking stuff. And, you know, after Canada started up there, we seen a need, and I'm sure, Jeremy, just like you did, and Marcus too, me and Brian had people reach out to us because of what we've done in the trucking industry, asking us if we were going to do something down here, like what they did up in Canada. And, you know, we stepped up to the plate. A bunch of us stepped up to the plate. There was, 28 of us on that thing that started it from the very get-go at one point, I believe. You know, and not everybody continued with it and stuff like that. But all we are is normal people, and we're not professional activists. We're not professional protesters. We're truck drivers and patriots, and people believe in this country and the Constitution, and don't like seeing the elites in our government trample all over our shit, you know. So we did the best we could, and it's easy to armchair quarterback shit after the fact. You know, I mean, hell, hindsight's 20/20, right? And unless you're someone that's never been in the position of trying to do something like that, hey, you can sit here and say, well, I would have done this, or I would have done that. Yeah? Oh, you know what? Put your money where your mouth is. Get something together, and we'll see how well it goes for you. Oh, maybe it'll go great. Maybe you are the best thing. Maybe you are better than what we did. I ain't saying that we're the best, but we did the best we could as people that don't want to see this country go in the shitter worse than it already is. And, you know, I guess if people want to bash us for it, that's their prerogative. But, you know, like Chuck said earlier, where's the proof? Y'all running your mouth, but where's the proof that this all happened? Where's the proof that anybody did anything that they've been accused of? You know, and especially, you know, Jeremy, when you said we talked earlier and me and Marcus both said we didn't know, I had no idea that you're being attacked the way you are. And quite frankly, I don't understand why. Because you were there in the beginning, and you made some connections with us, and then you kind of backed away for a while, and then you came to Hagerstown to see what it was about and what was going on, and got to witness it and you know, live it yourself firsthand. And you know, so I don't really understand why anybody's even got a problem with you in general, but I don't know why anybody has a problem with any of us in general other than they must hate people that stand up for freedom is the only thing I can think of.
Well, it has to deal with it started with Canada when they went to Ottawa, and the far-left liberals up in Canada with their whole comments of freedom. And when they commented freedom, they would put F-R-E-E, free, and then they, in quotation marks, D-U-M-B, dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been saying this for quite some time now. Why would you put dumb in the word freedom? That just shows how ignorant and stupid you are. Like, you literally have no idea that the people that are standing up for everybody's freedom, including yours, that comment, that D-U-M-B, including us, we've all stood up for we don't stand for ourselves necessarily. We stand up for everybody. And we put ourselves out there. We make our own sacrifices to stand up. And now this is what we've come to as a society, is it's freedom. Let me be the first person to tell you far left liberals that type that, not all you liberals, but the ones that type that, fuck you. You're pieces of shit. And I don't have no problem speaking the truth. And I told Marcus and I told Mike when I was on the phone with them earlier, I actually didn't tell them. I screamed at them. You get on the fucking radio show tonight and clear the name now, because I'm about to go off tonight. And right now I'm still calm, and I want to remain that way. I'm trying to remain that way. And I appreciate Mike and Marcus for being on here. I want you all to know that I do have Tony on the phone. He is mic'd up. And I also have Sean McIntosh, and I haven't mic'd him up yet, but I'm going to mic him up now. I have Chuck Biddles, and I also have Ross Justice mic'd up. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people mic'd up tonight, which is unprecedented for this radio show. I'm doing that because I do believe that each and every one of those 8 people will remain respectful, and they will speak their truth when the round table moves to them. And I'm going to allow everyone to speak their truth tonight, and rightfully so, because it needs to happen. Before we go on, I'm going to say one thing. Brian Von D, Brian Henson, you piece of shit. Tonight's your night that you fucking fall, because you are a piece of shit. You have accused people of the People's Convoy of doing things that they haven't done because you had a feeling, because you didn't get enough hugs from mommy when you were a baby. You didn't get the attention that you so desired. Well, guess what? Tonight you're going to get your attention. And every single one of these people on the phone call can verify with me and with the audience that Brian Von D, you are in fact a scammer. And I will start this conversation off with Brian Von D has a lawsuit against a trucking company for personal injury accident. Secondly, Brian Von D has a law, or I'm sorry, he has a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stalking.
Yes, he stalked his ex-girlfriend so badly, so to the point where she almost got fired from her job because he was on a Facebook group under an assumed alias, and he harassed her so bad that she damn near lost her job over it. That's the person Brian Von D is. Brian Von D, I told you a long time ago, don't fuck with me. And now you fucked around, and now you're going to find out. Brian Von D is a horrible, evil person. So I'm not going to spend any more time on that. And when it gets to your guys' turn to talk, if you want to elaborate on that, you're more than welcome to. And I welcome that because Brian Bondi deserves it right now because he's been one of the biggest instigators of all of this. So I want to go to Marcus. Marcus, you're on the phone. I talked to you a little bit ago with Mike. And what do you have to add to this conversation?
Oh, man, I could say a lot. I know. Imagine that, me talking. But first of all, I want to say thank you for doing what you're doing. And, again, reiterate what you were talking about earlier and what Mike had said as well. Like, we had no idea. I personally had no idea the amount of persecution you were going through. I can only imagine because I feel your pain, and we share that. It's just something that I think is going on right now. But you know, it was an amazing thing to be a part of, and it was an amazing thing to start from the beginning to the end. It was never supposed to be 4 months long. You know, it was never intended to be that sort of that length, that duration of time. You know, I don't know Brian Bondi. I'm aware of who he is. And this stems back from the very beginning stages of the two groups merging before it was called the People's Convoy. And it was, you know, the group that I was with and then the group that you and Mike and Brian Brazzi were with. So, you know, I do know that we had reached out to him and he blatantly turned us down. We had reached out, try to work with him and come together and unite. And he just didn't want to have anything to do with it. Other than that, I don't know him. I've heard a lot about him. I've seen him, and but as far as my personal, you know, knowledge of him, that's about as far as it goes. And then he resigned. You know, he eventually resigned after you know, I guess he got under pressure, and he resigned, and so. We were able to carry on with the two groups merging together, and I talked with Brian and, you know, explained to him, hey, can we unite together as one and build our foundation, build on that as rolling across the country, you know, uniting the country together. It'd be a heck of a good foundation to build on. And so, you know, he talked with the rest of them, and we had our conference call, the four of you and the four of us, and we had our agreements that we would merge, we would work together and unite as one, and we changed the name. You know, you and Mike, I think, were integral in the name, you know, in coming up with that particular name. And we liked it, and we agreed on it, and we moved forward from there. We both changed our names to the People's Convoy, and after that, you know, it ensued. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things I could talk about. I mean, many things I could talk about, but I don't know how much time you're giving me, and I don't want to take away from the others. And I'm sure I'll probably have another chance to talk as well. But it was an interesting thing. It was an amazing thing to be a part of. And I remember talking to Brian, telling Brian prior to him joining your group, I remember saying how important it was. I felt the importance of going to the states and convoying to the states instead of doing a national convoy. I felt like it was more important to convoy to the states. And I know you guys that know me, I've always been a huge advocate of fighting in the states, working at a state level, especially after being involved with you know, with USTA and working in at a federal level for fighting over you know, over regulation of the trucking industry. And so that really made me aware of how important it was to work at a state level. But I mentioned that to Brian Brazzi early on and saying, don't you think we should just do that? You know, of course, he was like, nah, that's stupid, you know, or whatever. It's kind of, you know, just, nah, that's, nah, we need to do a national convoy. And so I mentioned the same thing to Chris Young. And we actually found that in her text, in her messages, where I sent that in December or January, early January. Anyhow, so that was interesting little tidbit there of, you know, me thinking that convoying to the state, each state capital would be a good idea. But nevertheless, here we are. We've been able to come together and work together and unite and join and, you know, create the People's Convoy. And what an amazing thing to be a part of and share it with everybody that it was involved.
Yeah, it truly was amazing, Marcus, and I'm so happy that you and Mike decided to join us on this conversation tonight live, uncensored, where you guys are free to speak any which way you want. I want to touch on something while I have Tony on, and we're going to talk about Brian Bondi. And Brian Bondi, he asked for this fame, and now we're going to give it to him. Brian Bondi, this all started with Brian Bondi, by the way, if for you listeners. I did a slow roll up in Fargo, North Dakota, up to Pemina, North Dakota. It was me and Tony and Paul Massett and Will Cook. They all joined me up there. I decided that we're going to do a slow roll, and they joined me. And we started in Pemina or Fargo, North Dakota, with four trucks and roughly 15 cars. By the time we got up to Pemina, because we stopped in somewhere in between there, Grand Forks, North Dakota, I believe.
Yeah.
Grand Forks. We gained another, four or five trucks and 20, 30 vehicles. By the time we got up to Pemina, what started with a group of roughly 30, 40 people doubled, at least. We all slow rolled up there in shitty weather, by the way. Bad. The roads were they sucked. We got up to Pemina, North Dakota, and we were doing that in support of our Canadian and our American friends that weren't able to see family members during the pandemic's lockdowns, where some of them haven't seen their family members for over 2 years, which is fucking ridiculous. This government and Canadians government, they're tyrants. That's what I stand behind that firmly. We went up there together, and we, with our signs and our flags, I had an American flag and a Canadian flag flying out of my truck. A lot of the people, you know, this is how the People's Convoy started, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. So I did this, and Brian Hinson, Brian Bondi, every time that I have tried to do something or have done something, me and Tony, I shouldn't say I, it's we, Tony is a big, an instrumental part of the Disrespected Trucker. The name, the Disrespected Trucker, would not be what it is today without Tony, because there's been events where I've gone to and he couldn't go, and there's been events where he went to and I couldn't go. That's how big of influence that Tony has on the Disrespected Trucker name. He's always sat in the background. He's told me specifically that he's never wanted to be out in the forefront or in the public eye. And tonight he really did not want to come on this radio show. I talked to him earlier on today and convinced him that he needs to tonight, mainly because I got you, all of you guys on here tonight, because tonight we're going to speak the truth.
Jeremy? Yes. Marcus here. Can I add one thing about Tony quick?
Absolutely.
Hey, Tony. What's up, buddy? He's the reason that Chris Young was brought into the as a lead organizer. You know, he mentioned, hey, you know, how about we bring Chris Young into this and she can, you know, kind of be a secretary and all that. So I just wanted to say that, and along with that, we never knew that there was a group, our group, the group I was with, we never knew that there was a group of 16 or 18 more people until later, after we had merged, after we had gotten together, united together, and you know, changed the name and everything. So, so you know, that's how Chris Young actually got into it, was because of Tony. So thank you, Tony, for that suggestion way back whenever it was.
We needed it at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, and that's why I am so appreciative of all of you guys being on here tonight, because the truth needs to be spoken, and people need to understand what happened in the background. I know that we're lacking Brian Brazzi right now, but Brian was on this radio show previous for 3 straight hours. We didn't even get through half of what needed to get through. But in all fairness, he's not here, and I would appreciate if, including anybody, not to start throwing accusations out against people that are not here to defend themselves, except for, I'll make an exception tonight for Brian Bondi. Fuck him. And this is where I'm going to go. Brian Bondi had a group called Save the Flag, which I was a moderator on, which I gladly accepted that position on his Facebook group because it allowed me to share my radio show out on a different platform without having approval. And he allowed me to do that. And honestly, I'll thank him for that because that was just one more tool I could use to advertise my radio show. So after I did that Pemmata slow roll with Tony and Will and Paul Masson, I think it was 5 days later, Brian Von D contacted me and said, hey, we should start something like that, what's going on in Ottawa down here. And Tony can attest to this. I said, I want to give our Canadian friends respect and not take away from what they're trying to do. So I don't think that's a good idea. And that very night, he changed the name from Save the Flag to Convoy to DC 2022. And I woke up in the morning and I had 14,000 notifications. That's how quickly it grew. And I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And I looked at my phone. Yeah, he changed the name. And we were thrust into this movement, like, right now. And okay, I'm like, oh, well, there's no choice. I have no choice. Nobody has any choice. At this point, we have to go with it because he already changed the name. I called Brian right away, and I said, Brian, what the fuck, Brian Bondi, what the fuck are you thinking? Hey, we gotta ask when we can. And blah, 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 blah. Brian, let me for the record, Brian is not a thinker. Brian Bondi, he's not an intellectual. He's a moron. That's what he is. But we went with it, and you know what? It makes me just as big as a moron for going along with a moron. I should have held my ground, but I didn't. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We went with it. In the very beginning of the People's Convoy, before it was the People's Convoy, before Marcus's group got involved, and Cam and all the Cam was a scam artist too, by the way. But in the beginning, we went with it, and Brian Von D, and let me have Tony take over this conversation without me leading. Tony, or I want Tony to speak the truth without me leading the truth. Tony, from the very beginning with Brian Von D, how did you feel?
I wasn't comfortable with what he wanted to do. He was worried about financing the convoy and setting up financing. That's all he focused on. We were on a phone call the day that the first time we contacted or had contact with Lee Dundas, and it was supposed to be you and Brian Brazzi talking to her. And while we were on the phone, I got a call from my house. It was my grandson. He said, hey, Grandpa, some lady from New York called you. She wanted to talk to you. I said, well, who was it? I don't know. I gave her your number. Well, right away she called, and it was Stephanie from the Hannity Show. And she wanted to do an interview with us or with me, and I said, I don't put my face out there or my picture out or nothing. And I said, but I can get you in contact with somebody. So I got back on the phone with Brian
Von D and Jeremy and Brian Brazzi. I said, you ain't going to believe this shit. We just got contacted by Fox News. They want us on the Hannity show tonight. I got to let them know by 3 o'clock. And first thing Brian Von D said was, the only person doing any interviews is me, and we're not giving any interviews to the media until after the convoy's over. And this was in the very beginning stages. And I said, well, this ain't the Brian Henson show or the Brian Von D show. We've been trying to get national media coverage for our trucking stuff forever, and now they're coming to us. Somebody needs to talk to this lady. And we decided that it was going to be Brian Brazzi that would talk to her that night, or the Hannity show. Me and Jeremy contacted Lee Dundas and had a conference call with her and Marie, whatever her name was. And that's how we got involved with them, not knowing that they were already talking to Marcus and his group at the same time. They were looking for somebody to spearhead something to fall on the Canadian protest. From the beginning, that was a big concern of ours, was getting the date set to gold. We didn't want to take Canada's thunder, but we didn't want to wait until they fell apart and then try to do something. You know, we had worldwide support at the time, and that's how we ran with it, and then we ended up merging, and Brian left the group and tried playing the groups, you know, telling us that there were some of us that were just wanted to do, all we cared about was finances. We were trying to line our pockets. He said that from the very beginning. When it turned out that that's what he was doing, and his accounting firm and all that was his girlfriend's accounting firm. So that threw a big red flag up for me. You know, I didn't trust the guy at all.
And I actually have a recorded conversation that I recorded with Brian Von D that I told him that I was recording, and he told me that he was recording me and Tony, because Tony was on that conversation, where he admitted that, he in fact was trying to get his girlfriend's accounting firm, the CNA firm, to start a GoFundMe. And I asked him why with his girlfriend's accounting firm. And his exact words were, because I know how they do, whatever the fuck that means. Brian Von D is a scammer. He looks for the easy money. He always has, and that's what he always is. But I'm glad that you shared that part of the story, Tony, because like I asked you earlier today when I talked to you, tonight is the night that we all, Mike, Marcus, me, you, everybody that's on the phone right now that are mic'd up, it's time to share the truth. We're minus Brian, and we're minus Chris Young and Scott Overmiller, which I'm trying to clear everybody's name so we all quit being
Rebecca.
Back. Go ahead.
Rebecca as well.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, yes. Yes, absolutely. I met Rebecca down in Hagerstown also. What's that?
The whole thing is everybody that was involved in the grassroots beginning of this, we didn't know what we were doing. We spent on February 6th, we were on the phone for 16 hours trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. And when we, you know, there was a bunch of confusion about dates because news from Lee Dundas, you know, they were running with stuff on their side. It was a mess. And when we heard who was backing this convoy and who was going to help and who was going to be involved with it, it was way out of all of our leagues. I mean, and everybody was excited about it, you know. We had big name people and doctors and attorneys and the airline people, you know, that were backing it. And we went from tried to do a grassroots convoy, talking about just jumping in our trucks and driving across the country and see where it went, to a huge organization and undertaking that I don't think anybody had any idea what was going on. It was crazy. A lot of shit happened real quick. Yes.
Yeah, that's an understatement. And, again, you guys, every one of you that are on the phone right now, I appreciate you being here because this needs to happen today. Ross, I want to go back to you for a second. And based off of what you've heard so far, why don't you add to that and give us your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think it's easy for people to criticize, you know, the ones that took the initiative to start the different convoys, you know, because there were multiple different convoys. It wasn't just the People's Convoy, you know, and when I, like, you know, even when I started the Florida Convoy, I tried to reach out, and you know, I considered that everybody was just too busy to reach back to me and, you know, for us to coordinate together. So I just, you know, I took the initiative and ran with it. And you know, over the past couple of weeks, you know, I had to look back and take a different perspective of everything and see, you know, from my point of view, who had, you know, knowledge of what was going on with the money in our group. You know, it was only, you know, about three people, and at all times, you know, there's eight different admins that were helping me organize everything. And not everybody knew what was going on with the money. They had access and, you know, to it to know what was going on, but not everybody was involved. You know, so me jumping the gun to, you know, saying that Mike and Brian and everybody knew what was going on with the money was wrong. You know, as far as, you know, when it comes to, you know, if that was me, I could say all day that I'd do things different, but, you know, you're looking forward the entire time at the goal instead of looking at what's happening around you. And I completely understand where everybody's coming from when it comes down to that. You know, when Freedom Fighter Nation got involved, and, you know, started cutting
and,
you know, started
and
getting,
before you continue, who was largely responsible for getting Freedom Fighter Nation, .org involved?
That was you.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, I wanted to confirm that with the audience, that I will tell you the truth. I was very instrumental on getting Lee Dundas and the Freedom Fighter Nation org.com people involved. That happened during the slow roll up to Pembina, North Dakota. And here's
my
reasoning.
They had other stuff going on at the border, from what we understood, all across the port of entries where the farmers were coming and shutting stuff down. And that was, from what I understood, that was a lot to do with Freedom Fighter Nation, you know?
Right. And that's what I was going to go into, is the reason I wanted to get them involved is because I seen Lee Dundas in a Senate hearing with Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, and the fact that they were advertising and pushing the narrative, or whatever you want to call it, that they had people at every border crossing except for the one that we were going to. And the reason they didn't have anybody at that border crossing is because you cannot get to that border crossing without crossing the border. And I have never done anything where I put anybody in danger of being arrested. It's always been constitutional First Amendment protesting. And but I felt the need or the want or whatever you want to call it to get her involved because I seen her, the things that she's done. However, now, hindsight's always 20, like somebody said earlier. I believe that was Marcus or somebody. Now I know that she pled guilty for fraud charges, for in a different instant, not involving the People's Convoy, and Marcus and Mike will elaborate on that. They can get into that more than I can because I don't have facts to back my statements up, but they do. And, yes, she apparently is not, she's not a good person. Not the person I thought she was. Anyway, I wanted to interrupt you, Ross, to tell people why I got her involved. But go ahead and continue after FreedomFighterNation.org got involved.
Yeah, and, you know, with Lee Dundas getting involved, and you know, I understand why, you know, everybody just didn't look right into her. You know, she's at the top of everything. When you look at her her experience and her career, you know, at being a, you know, humanitarian, you know, she's at the top of everything. She's always involved. You know, she always gets in a position where she's in control, you know, of a movement. And in my opinion, I believe that's by design. You know, one to skim money off the top, because if you look into her record, you can find that she is a OT-7 in Scientology. And when you're at that level in Scientology, you eat, breathe, and sleep Scientology. Everything you do is for the church. And there's so many conspiracies out there from the past with her involved, that she's been skimming money and, you know, trying to further the Scientology religion and these movements that she's a part of, that it really seems like that's why she's doing it. It's a, you know, it's a grift, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's a hustle for, you know, for the Church of Scientology, in my opinion. You know, from the very beginning, you know, listening to, you know, yours and Brian's interview, you know, it sounded like she was, from the beginning, sabotaging all the organizers that were actually, you know, devoted to the convoy. You know, the whole picture of the phone numbers being put out, you know, was she involved in those text messages and that picture that got put out? You know, does anybody know that?
I don't think any of us do. The mole, the whole mole, the whole of the phone numbers, the mole that was established?
there was a picture
of a list of everyone's phone number with their name next to it that was put out at some point. I remember that. Yeah, it was put on.
And that's what Brian said, that was the reason that they started cutting people out, is because the Freedom Fighter Nation came in and said, nope, you can't, you know, you got a mole, you need to take care of it. You know, let's cut people out of this and basically bring it down to Brian. And then somehow, you know,
which Brian?
The others got involved. Brian Brazzi.
Okay.
Let me just add something here.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys, I think we're all going to find out a lot tonight, and we're all going to be surprised, and maybe not, I don't know. Let me just add something. Approximately a week before our names and our numbers got, not even a week, it was like a day, they got leaked. I had a phone conversation with Maureen privately. The only person that heard that was my girlfriend. She was on, I had her on speakerphone. That was right around the time that me and Chris Young and Scott had that blow up. Things were crazy. There was a lot of shit going on. And Maureen, we were going to have the second Zoom call. Remember the first Zoom call, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you guys on the line. We had a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone. We had and numerous other people with that are way more important than we will ever be. Shortly after that, we're going to have a second Zoom call. And Maureen called me and said, you need to cut that number down from, I believe it was 18 people that we had in the background, or whatever. It doesn't matter what the number was. But we need to cut that down to 1 to 3 people. And I called Maureen and I said, here's the deal, Maureen. It's either all of us or it's none of us. And she goes, they're not going to like that. And I said, I don't give a fuck what they like. I'm telling you, it's either all of us or none of us. And she goes, well, I'll bring it back to the people. And we hung up the phone, and it was the very next day that our names got leaked, our numbers got leaked, and I was out. The very next day, They used us and they played us, in my opinion. Anyway, I wanted to throw that in there because there's some things throughout this story that you guys don't know about because you weren't involved in the conversation. I was, or and if any of you have stories similar to mine, I want you to jump in and interrupt whoever's talking, and we need to get the truth out there, basically. So, but I'm sorry, Ross. Go ahead and continue.
Well,
no,
Ross,
I mean, I'm almost to the end. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If I may just interject what you just said, Jeremy, here's my thing to Ross about Lee. I straight up ask her, right in her face. I'll say it to her face, and I did. Are you a Scientologist? And she goes, are you kidding me? She goes, we go to the Crystal Cathedral. That's the church we go to. And I said, oh, okay, I've been there. I was at the Crystal Cathedral, John Schuller, Robert Schuller, whatever. And she just went on to say something about her husband and the, you know, all the stuff that came out was from her husband attending a meeting somewhere that he didn't know there was something tied in with Scientology and all that. And we left it at that. That was early on. That was early on. I asked her that question. We left it at that. Nothing more was said about it because we were in question about that early on. But I straight up asked her that, and that was her answer. So I just wanted to interject that. Go ahead, Ross. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think really, you know, once Lee Dundas got involved, you know, she got everybody cut out that she needed. You know, she convinced, you know, I know we're not trying to talk about everybody else because they're not here, but she convinced Brian on this Puerto Rico trip where he convinced, you know, I could say that, I guess, convinced Mike, and they went to Puerto Rico. And I know a lot of the other organizers that were cut out right before Puerto Rico weren't happy about that, you know, and what happened in Puerto Rico and who they met with, I think, is very important, you know, to this puzzle. So I don't know if Mike wants to take over, you know, on the trip to Puerto Rico and what happened there, or Marcus.
Yeah, well, so I don't even know how the whole Puerto Rico thing came about. Brian was reached out to about that, and, you know, from my understanding, and like Jeremy said, he's not here, but, you know, I know. he wasn't going to go because it was Valentine's weekend and him and Kayla had already had plans to go away. It's like, it's just gonna kill me if I come down there. So they offered to have her come along also. Now, I didn't know about this right away. Brian kind of kept it to himself. And you know, one day he calls me. He's on his way out to Salt Lake City in the truck. And he calls me and he's like, says something about it. I'm like, what? Like, if this is starting to sound a little like, listen, we all knew from the get-go when this thing blew up, because at that point, my social media had already disappeared. Like, I was sitting on the shitter at a Love's truck stop in Florida one night, flipping through my Facebook, and it just disappeared off my phone. You know, because, and I had just posted something 20 minutes before that, a TikTok that I made about doing the convoy to see what kind of response it would get. And my Instagram and my Facebook, gone. And it just so happened, Jeremy, if you remember, we were going to be on Fox and Friends the next morning. And they got wind of that, totally turned it from the convoy into a censorship issue. But Facebook claimed that I had posted QAnon stuff. Well, I never posted any QAnon stuff in my life on my Facebook, so they were grasping for straws. But at any rate, when he said about going to Puerto Rico, I'm like, what? Like, man, this is starting to sound a little funky. Like, either somebody wants you to do something stupid or the government's going to try and freaking get rid of us before we can get this thing off the ground or something, you know? And he's like, yeah, I don't really know what to do. You know, Kayla's going to go along, and I don't really know about that. And he's like, well,
and
you
Mike,
go.
Mike, what did I say to Brian when he said that you guys were going to plan a trip down to Puerto Rico to meet somebody? A potential investor is what I was told, to finance the convoy so we can make sure that we could last. What was my words?
Well, you didn't want us to go.
I don't remember the exact word that you used,
but I know you didn't really want us to go, and I was whatever too, but also, like I said, you know, before, like, you know, he called me and he's my friend and he's like, I'd really like if you'd come along to this, and I'm like, well, yeah, all right. You know, when your friends ask you, you kind of go, well, this is going to get interesting, and you go.
But in all fairness, Mike, I told you guys, if these people want to meet them at Applebee's in fucking Sioux Falls. But in all fairness, we also said collectively as a group to let you guys do what you needed to do. And Tony can back that up. Right, Tony?
Yep. We were asked to be let off our leashes and do what we got to do, because I think, at least, you know, speaking for myself, I've been in enough situations with the trucking stuff where you guys all know I don't get persuaded or get bought or anything like that. Like, if it's not what I believe in, then fuck off. And,
right,
exactly. You know, so
that's what happened with this right here. And Tony was on the – Tony's been on the phone 90% of the time I've been on any calls. Always – let people know that Tony is in, you know, he's listening. And my girlfriend, you know, I always told people, I got you on speakerphone, this is who's on. I've always divulged that. I will never lie. I don't need to lie. And you guys come out and said this, and I was like, fuck, this is not a good idea, dude, because my red flags were popping like a motherfucker. And I was like, no, don't do this. But you guys did. Now, what I want you to let everybody know, okay, so you said to everybody why you went to Puerto Rico, and we kind of understand why. What happened down in Puerto Rico that you guys were fearful of your life?
Well, I mean, imagine being in the most beautiful prison you've ever seen in your life. Kind of about what it was like. But, so, anyway, we get there. We all arrive on separate flights because Kayla came out of Ohio, I came out of Florida, Brian came out of Salt Lake City. We get there. You know, it's like, I don't know,
and
4 o'clock in the morning. To be honest with you, I don't know. Because when Brian asked me to go, I was like, well, he's like, I'll get them to get you a plane ticket. So, I have an idea who it is. We haven't said their name yet. But it's who we were going, who we met down there, who ironically voiced their dislike of Lee Dundas from the get-go. So we get there. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and we go to these people's house that live in this gated community, super nice. You know, the only way to really get around in this gated community is in a golf cart. Maureen is there, Lee's assistant, and so Maureen and I end up staying at these people's house. So they have another house on the beach, like a condo, and some of the doctors were there, okay? Richard Urso was there, Ryan Cole was there. That's how we ended up meeting them in person. So I'll say, as much as some of us, you know, obviously didn't think this was a good idea to go, for every action, there's a reaction, and the one reaction from this was we got to meet some of the doctors that ended up sticking with us through this personally, and I think that's why they ended up sticking with us through this, because we went through this together with some of them. And so they kind of separated us, right? And they were super nice people, blah, 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 but it was still like, it's just something a little weird. I mean, honestly, I expected the plane to crash the whole time I was on the freaking thing. You know, so we get down there, and the next morning we get up, they get us breakfast, they golf cart us down to the condo where Brian and the doctors and stuff are, and we meet this fella named James Heckman. And I'm assuming this is who flew us down there, would be my guess. I don't know, but... he wanted to meet us. I'm assuming he's the one that reached out to Brian originally, and I'm going to guess that's because, as you guys said, he was on the Hannity show. He was already out there in mainstream talking about doing this, right? So that would be my guess as to why they reached out to him and got, you know, got him involved, and then he got them convinced to let me come down. And so this guy, I don't know, he's supposed to be a rich millionaire guy, started a bunch of companies and like television networks, and he's into crypto. Well, I don't know anything about crypto. Brian does. Brian's into that stuff. I'm not. I don't. Me and technology don't get along. So anyway, this dude's working on a crypto coin called Let's Go Brandon. And I feel like this kind of ties in a little bit to where this was this guy's motive. He wanted to use this to launch this freaking coin and make himself a shit pile of money is where, you know, what I'm thinking. And so we go there, and we were only scheduled to be there for like a day or two. I think two nights or something like that. And so he's talking, and we were meeting him, and we're meeting the doctors, and, you know, he's kind of getting to know us a little bit. He had this grander plan that he wanted to do with his convoy, right? And he took me and Brian and a couple of doctors outside, and he's talking about this. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I didn't like the plan, thought it was stupid. Not only did I think it was stupid, but I thought it was going to be a dupe to the American people that were going to support the convoy, okay? And I don't know if you guys remember all that talk about having a big shindig like at Coachella with bands and speakers and all that type of shit to start this
Kid
convoy
Rock.
Off? Remember
yeah.
that? Yeah, yeah. So this was... He was part of trying to make this happen. This whole time we're there, he's talking about this whole big send-off thing, and we're going to give the first, like, I don't forget what he said, 1,000 truckers that show up, you know, 1,000 Let's Go Brandon coins or some shit like that. And I'm looking at it, and I don't know, truck drivers ain't going to be into that shit, first of all. Like, we look at money. At least I look at money. You tell me you're giving me 1,000 whatever these little things are that are going to show up on my phone, I'm going to go, what the fuck is this? So, you know, it's very obvious where this is kind of headed. And then he has this plan of, we're going to have this big thing in Coachella. You know, we'll get this big send-off thing. He goes, and in the middle of the night, we're never going to go to D.C. We're only going to go 80 miles over to Los Angeles and shut the whole city down, throw the keys away, and walk to the beach. And we were all a little taken back by this, right? And we dispersed, and we're talking, and I'm like,
Mike,
don't know that that's a good idea. What?
Maybe just for people listening's sake, to figure out how we got down there, how I got down there, and how Wendy and Jerry got down there.
I didn't get to that part yet, Marcus. Put the Jake
okay,
break
okay.
on downshift.
Because we were there for the part you're talking about.
No,
ahead,
no,
sorry.
You weren't. You heard that the second time around. You weren't there the first time
Mike. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So, anyway, we all kind of dispersed, and we're like, what the hell? I told him, I said, so you want to advertise this as if we're going to Washington, D.C. from out here so people donate and support and think they're going to see us come across the country, and you want to end it in an hour and a half and never do it? You know how pissed the American people are going to be? They're going to be like, what? I'm like, and then you're basically throat, like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, that's like one of the biggest cities. If we can shut that down, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like, look, I get it. I understand your logic here. Don't have any assets or backups to do the original plan at that point. Anybody that wanted to get involved is in jail. So if you throat punch them and it don't take them out, now what? I'm like, nah, I don't like that idea. You know, so we kind of kiboshed it even before Marcus and them got there. And And then because the doctors weren't into it, you know, me and Brian weren't really into it. And it kind of defeated the whole purpose to me of the convoy, because to me, this convoy was supposed to bring the people together as we go across the country. That's why you're starting it in the West Coast and going to the East Coast. And so we're listening to this, and we kind of disperse, and we're talking about it. Then we started to notice, randomly just leave, and he'd randomly show back up. And whatever we had talked about amongst ourselves while he was gone, he just starts bringing up in conversation. And we're like, wait a minute. Why is this happening to where whatever we talk about randomly comes up from him first, not us bringing it up, in conversation when he shows back up? So we came to the conclusion that his house was probably bugged, and they're listening to everything we're saying and doing. You know,
that was Peter Schiff's house, right? Peter Schiff, that's the house you're at?
Their whatever you want to call it, beach house or condo or whatever it was, but yeah. And so we're like, what the hell? You know, they would want us to put our phones on airplane mode and put them in the microwave every time we'd have a conversation. And so anyway, beautiful, right along the beach, whatever. So we started going out in the beach or out in the ocean to talk. And then you could see a little panic start setting in, because they randomly show up and just, like, not really have nothing to say anymore. You know, and it was kind of easy to pick up. The dude's good. The dude's good at what he does, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can kind of pick up on it. So, anyway, we're, like, 2 days into this thing now. And, you know, he's keeps trying to work us on this. And we told him, and we're like, we can't make this decision. And we didn't want to make that decision. I mean, I had already made my mind up on what I wasn't going to do it. But, you know, he keeps trying different angles, trying different things. He's like, oh, we're going to have these people over. We're going over here for a dinner. You know, we were over at the other house one night for a dinner, and they kind of got me and Brian separated. And you know, this guy took Brian into the room, and he's talking to him without me. And, like, you could tell they didn't want me in there. I don't know that he liked me a whole lot, because I don't really keep my mouth shut about shit I don't like, and I pretty much told him I thought he was a fucking idiot for wanting to do what he did. But,
wait a minute. Is your name Mike Landis, or is it Jeremy Johnson? I'm just, just for clarification.
So, we told him, we're like, we need more of our people here. We need, you know, we need people from, you know, we're just, for all intents and purposes, me and Brian, we're two white guys here, right? Like, we have friends. We could probably get, because they were worried about numbers. What kind of numbers can you get? You know, so that's when we brought down Wendy, Jerry, Marcus came down, and Dan, Kayla's dad, actually ended up coming down. Alan Kelly was supposed to, but he had COVID. And so we bring them down, and then he runs through the spiel again, which is where, you know, Marcus said, you know, we heard it. And they're still trying to do, regardless of what we do, he's kind of accepted the fact that we're not going to do his little plan to L.A., but they still wanted to do this huge send-off thing in Coachella and yada, yada, yada. The problem was, is if you remember at that point, Canada was starting to get a little heated up there in Ottawa.
Yeah,
they were starting to put some pressure on everybody up there.
Yeah, they started bringing in reinforcements and started getting a little violent with peaceful protesters.
Right. And we're down there, and they're talking about, oh, this is going to be a month from now. And basically I'm like, dude, we don't have that kind of time. Like, we wanted to give Canada time, like you said. We didn't want to take away from what they were doing. But at the same time, we had to get this shit together, because – we were doing it in support of them, in support of everything, and with them, basically, right? But I told him, I'm like, if we don't get this going and Canada falls before we get this going, we just lost it. I'm like, we don't have that kind of time. And, you know, we're sitting in there, and basically, you know, we filled the other people that came down in on what was going on. And the doctors at this point basically pledged to us, like, look, we like you guys. We like what you're doing. We will work with you for this convoy, but we don't like what's going on here either. And they did it.
Hey, Mike. Mike, I just got a text message, and I'm not gonna say by from who. Here's what the text message says: Rozzy gave Heckman the password to the peoplesconvoy.org. Heckman did the entire website on that coin, not the convoy or trucks. I have the screenshots of the website. I called Rozzy immediately and told him. He changed the password right away, and I told him to get everybody out of there right away.
Actually, I kind of forgot that little tidbit right there, but that's true.
I forgot that,
so
too.
He was supposed to have his people build our website, and Brian had already bought the domain for the .org, right? So we gave it to him, and it was, we're working on it, we're working on it, we're working on it. Then someone seen it. And it was literally all about this dude's Let's Go Brandon coin, and Brozzy kind of flipped out on the dude, like, yo, what is this shit? Like, get rid of it and get rid of it now. Like,
that was me. I typed it in to check it out to see if it was legit, and it was LGB.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
I
there's
too.
So much that happened with this, and little tidbits like that that just kind of show it. So.
Yeah.
We go back to this and we're all there, and basically at this point we just kind of wanted to push this dude a little bit, and that's when we're sitting around a table and he's explaining to the rest of them what he wants to do. So we told Marcus to shoot him a number just to see what he says, because he kept wanting to do this crypto shit. So Marcus is writing numbers down and showing them to Wendy, and she'd shake her head, and he'd write another number down. And finally, you know.
She was nodding her head, yes. And every time he kept talking, I'd put a higher number because I felt he was full of shit. I'm like, I'm gonna call this guy out. I'm done with him. I'm done.
So we found out, or were told, and I can't corroborate this, but we were told this dude was very wealthy, but was apparently broke or going
broke.
By
the way,
so
guys,
he's obviously
Mike
trying to make money.
And Marcus and both of you, Wendy is in contact with me right now, and she's nodding her head in approval.
Yeah.
So she's listening.
Bring her in.
So
Wendy, if I know you're listening, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome. The phone number is 516-387-1733. Again, if you don't have a pen and a piece of paper, it's 516-387-1733. I will text you that phone number. If you want to call in and join the conversation, I will most definitely add you into the conversation. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, for the first hour and a half of this show, we are doing nothing but speaking the truth. And tonight we are going to silence people like Brian Bondi and anybody else that think they know more than the people that were actually involved. And that's why I felt it necessary to have everybody on, Ross Justice, Marcus and Brian, or Marcus and Mike, to speak their side of what really happened. That way you get the truth straight out of their mouth. We have Brian on already for almost nearly 3 hours. And tonight we are going to finish this show with, we have an hour and a half left, and if that's what it takes, spectacular. It's important not only to me, but to Brian, Mike, and everybody else that was involved that made a sacrifice to get this thing off the ground that lasted 87 days. Mike and Marcus and Brian, they don't deserve your criticism. They deserve your praises. And that's my humble opinion, and I still stand behind that 1,000%. But we'll get back to some of the things that Ross found out through his research, and it doesn't involve Ross or I'm sorry, Mike, Brian, and Marcus. But yes, anyway, I apologize for interrupting you, Mike. Before we continue, I also want to thank Unplugged Radio, Unplugged 7. If you go to blogtalkradio.com, search in Unplugged 7, you will see that we have a couple of radio shows on our network, including Patriots United, which are friends of mine from TikTok. It's Chatio from Canada, and Michael from Texas, American Patriots, and hence the name Patriots United. I am responsible for getting them on here on this network of radio shows, and we will only add on more as time goes by or goes on, because I believe in our country, and I am I'm a patriot, and I fuck the government. There's your statement from Jeremy, and I'll say that every fucking day. Fuck the government. Anyway, thank you to Unplugged 7 Radio Network. I'm not going to say who owns that, but they're the ones that gave us this opportunity and our voice to continue speaking the truth uncensored. On that note, thank you, Unplugged 7. And Mike, you go ahead and continue on, my friend.
Yeah. So we're sitting at this table, and, you know, as I said, we told Marcus, let's shoot this guy something stupid and see what happens. So he tells us his grandeur plan again about going to L.A. Marcus is sitting there, just cool, calm, and collected, and looks at the dude, and $2 million apiece before we leave here.
Cash in our bank accounts.
And
was
we
I,
all start
was I
going to
get
a, because,
like, at least 50,000 of that?
You guys
do what?
You guys all every. What?
I was just going to say.
What did you say,
Jim? Was I going to get at least 50,000 of that? I mean, you know,
yeah.
Asking for a friend.
Right.
They were all just kind of chuckling after I said just straight up $2 million, whatever I said, and they were all chuckling, and I looked straight at him in the eye, and I said, he was at the opposite end of the table, and I said, I'm not laughing. I said, see, they're laughing. I'm not laughing. That's where it's at. And he like was quiet. He closed whatever he had open. He looked, he says, well, I think that's a bit unreasonable. And the meeting was adjourned immediately. Done.
Well,
so,
okay, so
I mean,
let me interrupt you one more time. And this, I promise you I won't interrupt you anymore. Marcus, can we go back to that table and renegotiate for $1 billion apiece, and then you give each of you give $500,000 to Brian Bondi so he'd shut his big, fat, ugly fucking mouth? Would you be
Nobody
able to do that?
My answer to that is, if somebody is spewing the untruth, nobody should get paid or rewarded for speaking lies or misinformation.
I just had to make a point that
there's,
Brian
Bondi's. There's other ways.
Anyway,
there's other ways of dealing with that. Yeah, and oftentimes silence can be golden as well, you know. But go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, let's be honest. In all reality, $2 million is not that much money, and you know, it just that was never going to happen. We were calling his bluff, right?
Calling his
ass out. He wanted to do
this.
Yeah, he wanted to do this with crypto. And obviously that would be an easy way to drop, you know, if you were to agree to that, to drop the bottom out of it, because there's ways to do that. I learned this, and you know, that then he would never actually have to pay us, right, in essence. And this dude was a little surprised when we started talking about crypto. He asked, oh, you guys know anything about it? And Brian's like, oh, yeah, I got a bunch of it. And you could see he was like, uh-oh. So he had two problems right away. One, Brian knows crypto. I don't. But I am not impressed or persuaded or in any way, shape, or form moved by someone's status or the amount of money they have. You're either a good person or you're a piece of shit. And out pretty quick, and he was like, oh, shit. Anyway, like Marcus said, he was kind of over it at that point after he said that, you know, and walked away for a while. And then he still wanted to do this freaking... honest to God, I don't even know how many different places they had contacted to try and make this happen, how many different people they went through to try and make this happen. And at this point, I'm getting irritated. And, you know, I mean, some of you guys know me. Marcus probably knows me the best out of everyone on here. Wendy could vouch for it. I'm a pretty even-keeled dude, and I will play along or do what I need to do for a while and be pretty, like, chill about it. But when I've had enough,
you are.
Fuck you, I'm done. And I was getting irritated because what was supposed to be a two-day trip is now at, like, what, 5 or 6 days? And, like, we can't get out of where we're at. We're at their mercy because it's got to have a passcode thing, you know, to take the car through the gate. We went out one time with their car to pick up something or whatever the hell it was, and they weren't even going to let us back in. And I'm like, yo, I'm driving the people's car. Like, I'm not stealing it. If I did, I'm returning it. You know?
Hey, by the way, in case you didn't know Mike or Marcus or anybody that's listening, Brian Von D is a piece of shit. Anyway, carry on.
This message is brought to you by.
Brought to you by.
Yeah. So he comes back, and he's still on this kick of this freaking Coachella thing. And him and Brazzi are in the one room talking about this. And I'm listening to this conversation, and I'm like, at this point, I feel like they're just trying to keep us here. Like, they're purposely stalling, you know what I mean? You can't tell me you got this type of status and clout, and you're not making shit happen. Sorry, I'm not buying it. So I walked into the room, and I grabbed the Brian. We walked out in the balcony, and I looked at him, and I'm like, I'm done with this shit. I said, this guy's a fucking joke. And we've been here for however many days now. We're not getting anything done. Canada's heating up. I'm done. We're leaving. We're going to do this trucker style. Fuck this guy. And I walked in, and I told the guy that. And that was that. And that night, this is where it gets interesting, okay? And although this guy did not like Lee, and he was very vocal about that, even to Maureen, which was Lee's assistant, and he was a dickhead to her. Like, I wanted to knock him out a couple times because he was just ignorant to this fucking woman. And, you know, he's telling her, I don't like your boss, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I don't like the dumb bitch either. From the first time we had the very first Zoom call with her, and I had to listen to her talk about how great she was for 15 fucking minutes before anybody could say anything, fuck you, you're a piece of shit. Don't like you. Anyway,
that was you're talking about Maureen, right?
No, Lee.
Oh, no, Maureen was okay. I'm talking about Lee Dundas.
Okay, okay.
Brian Von D.
Yeah. Okay. So I talked to Maureen.
Fucking hoe.
Yeah. The reason I got involved with Lee Dundas, I explained that earlier in the show, but Maureen, let me share my personal opinion about Maureen. I think Maureen is a sweetheart. I met her down in Hagerstown. I talked to her on the phone numerous times. When I had that conversation with her about it's either one of us, all of us or none of us, I do believe that she was under instruction by Lee. I can't confirm that, but I believe that. That
I believe it.
She was told to convince me that this is how it's going to be, that they were directing it at that point. And that is basically the point that I removed myself from the People's Convoy, because I realized that Jeremy Dunn did fucked up and got somebody involved that is very influential on taking control of the narrative. And I have no apologies for backing out. The only apologies I have is that I did not defend you guys more. You, Brian, Marcus, all of you, when I should have and needed to, because now I've been under attack for the last 6 months brutally, very brutally. On my personal cell phone, they the last time, they just 2 days, 3 days ago, they sent me a video of a Hispanic gentleman laying on the ground with blood running out of his head. And some guy spoke in Spanish, and they shot the guy again in the head, right on video. And I haven't gone to the authorities with this yet, but I will probably tomorrow. That needs to be shared. I haven't shared it yet. Honestly, I've been sitting here all week wondering what I should do with that. It's quite obvious that I need to let the authorities in on this now, because it's escalated to the point from, you know, you're a piece of shit, scammer, thief, or whatever, to now I'm going to show you a video of somebody getting shot in the head based off of what they believe I've done, or you've done, or Marcus, or Mike, or Brian, what they've done, and what you guys have done, and you have done nothing wrong. I still believe that wholeheartedly. Tony believes that wholeheartedly. The people that we've always been involved with in trucking advocacy all believe that for the most part. There are that faction that doesn't believe that. And that's the same faction that has always caused division between all of us. And, boy, do I want to say – no, I ain't going to say their names, because I don't need that shitstorm right now.
No, but them two are pieces of shit, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say one name. I will say one name. And his name is Charles Claiborne. He called me, and he tried to – convince me about Brian Braze, you know, his shortcomings, and how him and Kayla got together, and how he's, you know, he was married before, and he's this big piece of shit. And you know what? Because I tell you that, I tell my audience, I speak the truth. I tell people that I speak the truth. There was a time in my life that I was not a good person. And I've done a lot of bad things morally involving my ex-wife. And I am man enough to stand up and say I was wrong, and I'm sorry for that. And I wholeheartedly mean that, because my ex-wife doesn't deserve that. These people morally will never stand up and apologize when they're wrong. And Charles Claiborne is one of them. Charles Claiborne is another Brian Bondi. He will do whatever it takes to get his name out there so he can get his 15 minutes of fame. He did it in 2020 when we were in Washington, D.C., on Constitution Avenue, when we made the sacrifice to be there. He didn't show up until he knew it was popular. He didn't show up until he knew he was going to get his name out there. That's who Charles Claiborne is, and that's who Brian Bondi is. And Brian Bondi, fuck you. You motherfucker, you piece of shit motherfucker. Guess what? Uncensored live, Jeremy Johnson says, fuck you, Brian Bondi, you piece of shit. You motherfucker. You piece of shit. We don't forget. And we are not going to let this go until your reputation is completely ruined for being a piece of shit. You motherfucker. Okay. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
All right. So now we get to the interesting part. As I was saying, I believe, even though this Heckman fella says he didn't like Lee, that somehow this is somewhat all connected, that they are all connected, and it was just part of a grander plan of theirs to, you know, we're going to try it this way, and if it don't work, we have Maureen there, who's working for Lee, that can feed us information and know if we need to go to plan B or not. So anyway, you know, Maureen's talking to Lee about what's going on. She actually ended up leaving early because she didn't feel comfortable being there. The next thing you know, Lee's calling us, talking about getting us the hell out of Puerto Rico. You guys, we need to get you out of there, blah, 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 blah. This isn't going to be good. And we're like, all right. So we'd already said we wanted to leave. And
Heckman had a lady that was supposed to be getting us our plane tickets, right? Like she's
hey, Brian
there.
Or Mike. I don't mean that. I've said this like three times already, but I'm going to say it for the fourth, and I'll probably say it for the 20th. We do have Fox News listening in, just so you know.
Oh, cool.
you want me to bring in the Fox News connection? You want me to bring it in, how Fox News is connected, all this? James Heck.
Hold on. What did you say, Mike?
Okay.
we will definitely get to that.
I'm going to give you your opportunity to lead in who's also a big stakeholder in his company, whom he talked about the whole time we were there. at any rate, so...
Fucking son.
So, he's got this lady that's supposed to be getting us our plane tickets, and I've never seen someone have so much goddamn trouble getting a plane ticket
in
my life. I mean, like, just one debacle after another. And, on the internet. Anyways, finally, we all get emails with plane tickets. We were flying to Chris Marston's house in Topanga, California, to meet with him and Lee, right? So, Lee doesn't trust this. She's like, I'm getting you guys plane tickets to get out of there. Okay. So she bought us all plane tickets that was on a plane the exact same route through the exact same airline, but an hour earlier than the ones that we were, the Heckman's person got us on. Well, so she sends someone that she knows lives on Puerto Rico across the island to pick us up and take us, okay? Well, problem was when this dude got there, his car wasn't big enough for all five of us, which would have been me, Marcus, Brian, Jerry, Wendy. So we're like, uh-oh, what do we do? So Marcus and Brian said, we'll stay and take the ride we were supposed to get and just get on the other plane since we, have tickets. All right, no problem. Now, if you go back a little bit ago, a couple interruptions ago, Jeremy, I said, We figured out that the house was pretty well bugged, right? Because as we would go out and have conversations in the ocean, this dude would kind of freak out because he's talking about. Well, we're in the house, and none of us went to sleep that night because we had to leave early in the morning at the airport. So this dude comes and picks us up. So me, Wendy, and Jerry go. Brian and Mark, get behind. We get to the airport. Dude's running a little behind. We missed the plane that Lee got for us. We missed it. We were a little too late. And then we were like, well, shit. The guy that we checked in with was like, your name is on two different tickets for... He goes, well, you only got tickets for the 5:30 or whatever time it was playing. We're like, okay, so we'll take them. So he gives us our tickets. Now, that is the plane. We now have legit valid tickets for the plane that Heckman's person secured for us. Okay? Me, Wendy, and Jerry. Tickets to this plane and show up on time as they were scheduled to, and when they checked in to get their tickets for the same plane from the same person that the three of us got ours for, they were canceled. So you want to tell me it's not a little weird that the three of us that left early, they figured there was no way to stop us from getting out of there because they knew we had another plane, but they didn't know that we missed that fucking plane. And our tickets were still good, but by the time Brian and Marcus got there, their tickets were no good.
Hey,
they had to buy their tickets to get on that plane.
Remember I told you I'm going to interrupt you about 22 times? I just got a text message. My phone is blowing up, by the way, because of this radio show. And I'm going to read this to you. It's from somebody that you guys, Marcus and Mike, know. Here's what it says. I'm not going to say he or she. It says, thank you. This has been needed. By the way, this is name. Never forget you are how I found my way to ever have been a part of the People's Convoy. You inspired me to help unite American truckers. I've never wanted recognition, just to be what I need to be for my children and all children. I've shed a few tears listening to you guys. The truth is finally being spoken. And to Von D, I'm the girl who was on the bus with Marcus. His intel sucks. I think Marcus and Mike, I think you know who that was that just texted me. A wonderful and spectacular person. We have many people listening to this radio show tonight, and I want to say one thing before Mike continues. Thank you, Marcus and Mike. Thank you guys both for being here. It means the world to me, and I think it means the world more to a lot of other people that think that this needed to happen a long time ago.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm glad. We've been wanting to do something, and it all just kind of came together. Ross started doing some research and reached out, and here we are. So I'm just going to say this before, because that's kind of, that debacle ended up, we all ended up meeting up. The plane had a layover, actually, in New York. We all ended up meeting up there and then being on the same plane from to California.
You got to say it. I mean, I'll just say it. Brian and me, we got a message from this person at the same time.
Shit, that's right.
We checked in. We got messages. We each got a text message from this person stating, "Hey guys,
the
hope
one
everything's
that booked
fine.
The tickets.
Yes, hope everything's good. I just couldn't sleep. I've been so worried about this all night. Hope everything is fine. Hope you boarded and you have a safe flight." And Brian looked at me, and I'm like, I just got that message, too. And we looked at each other, and was like, because we had to buy our own plane tickets then. We had to buy our Brian and me had to purchase our rebook and purchase our plane tickets. So it was ironic that we got that message the same time we were checking in and all that. Very, very crazy for sure. It was scary.
It was pretty nuts, and we didn't know that until they finally showed up at the TSA line, and they're like, I think maybe you guys might have texted one of us, but anyway, it was weird, but we got our way out of there, and we left Puerto Rico together because we all ended up on the same plane, ironically, out of there anyway. Laid over in New York and went to LA and met, that's where we met Marston. I actually have a picture. They sent a car to pick us up, you know, a guy all dressed up in a suit with a little board that has your name on it, and it said Truckers on the board for the name. So we took a picture of it. I thought it was hilarious. But, before I turn it over, Ross has been doing a bunch of research on connecting some of these dots of people and what they got. So this guy, Heckman, actually flew out to New York City while we were down there. Said he had to ring the bell on the stock exchange. Well, it turns out he stood next to the guy that rang the bell.
It wasn't
on the stock
him.
Exchange.
Ross Levinson is the one that rang the bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's been some connections here, and this guy talked shit about BlackRock and people like that the whole time we were there. And before I turn it over to Ross, I'm just going to say this because, I don't know how much I get to talk again after this. But, you know, for anybody that's wondering – no, we didn't make a penny off the convoy. Did some people come up and personally hand us some money and say, here, this is for you for doing this? Sure. But it was nothing significant, you know what I mean? And then I sold a truck, not for the convoy, but it ended up being for the convoy. I sold one of my trucks in December last year. That money was supposed to go to completely restoring the truck that I used in the convoy, which is my truck I'm driving as we speak, to work with. And it's a truck I've owned for a long time. I was going to completely restore it. I had worked my ass off to finally live in Florida in our camper over the winter so my kids could continue to race and train and ride their dirt bikes because we race motocross. That's what we do, and that's a big thing, with the intent of going to Texas for two big races in the springtime
that I really wanted my oldest boy to do because he's really good at it, and I wanted him to shine and hopefully get some good sponsors and get some attention out of it. And the money from selling that truck went to pay bills while I did the convoy. That's the only reason I was able to do it as long as we did, because like Marcus said, this thing, or someone said earlier, it was only supposed to last a couple weeks in the beginning, you know, 2-3 weeks at most, not as long as it did. And I was not there to help them work on bikes and shit like that. And my kid had a pretty good race going, and then something ended up happening to his bike that, you know, his mom, who drove him there because I wasn't there, just didn't know how to fix. And, you know, the whole thing kind of got kiboshed. So, you know, the money thing, whatever, it is what it is. We can always work and make more money. But letting my kid down to be able to do this convoy and have people talk shit, I will rip your fucking head off. You want to talk shit behind the keyboard? Grow a set of balls and come talk to my face.
On that note, Mike, let me ask you a question. What are your personal words toward Brian Von D?
All I can do is
shut
laugh.
Your ears, kid.
You ever watch Smokey and the Bandit, you know, when Big and Little Enos Burdett walk up and Bandit tips his hat up and he goes...
Hold on. Let me start the slow clap. Hey, Brian Von D, I told you, you dumb motherfucker. You come after the wrong group of people. We are going to expose you for the scam artist that you are. You've never done anything. You've never planned anything. And if you were involved, like you were in charge of planning the People's Convoy, we'd still be sitting here talking about who we're going to have in charge of the GoFundMe. That's how fucking stupid you are, you dumb motherfucker. Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with my friends. I will expose you every fucking single day of the week, every single day of the year. You're a dumb piece of shit.
God damn, Jeremy, tell us
fuck
how
off.
You really feel.
Hey, Jeremy.
Is
this show
kid really
friendly?
I got a question.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Is that Sean McIntosh?
This isn't
that we
a family
hear?
Show.
Yeah,
I'm in
that's
here.
Why I created I created this show as PG-13. I should have maybe changed that to rated R.
Yeah, that'd be a safe
one. Ay, ay,
you know, we talk a lot about truckers, the truckers' convoy, and that's just the thing, too, is it wasn't just truckers. There was actually more four-wheelers and more civilians than truckers, and it wasn't just for truckers, you know, there was more than just truckers.
It was
about
the
people.
Convoy.
Exactly, the people were the convoy, and truckers were part of it.
But
exactly.
I think we should let Ross talk about his dots that he's connected with his first part here, dealing with some of the people we were with in Puerto Rico. He you know, if I say it, it's hearsay, but he's done the research and has the information on it to connect it and knows it. And I think it's important because it shows just how from the beginning infiltrated this convoy was and how much they tried to stop it. And when I say they, we thought, you know, that means, you know, elites, government, people that don't want to see the Constitution prevail.
Absolutely. Mike, I agree with you. I think it's time to bring Ross back on. And Ross, I think a lot of this has opened a lot of our eyes to what really happened. And, you know, including my involvement, Marcus's, Brian, Mike's, all of ours, Chris and Scott, you're going to find out that we're not the bad guys. We were just, what's that?
And Rebecca, she was part of it.
And Rebecca, yes. There's a
and
lot
Wendy,
of people.
Wendy and Jerry.
it's not even just our names. It's all of
right.
us. The American people are going to find out that the people that tried to do this the right way, we're infiltrated by bad people. And that basically is your government in a nutshell, and your media and everything. You're going to find out after Ross talks now how your fellow Americans tried to stand up for you, and they got used and they got played. And Ross, with that, on that note, I want you to come out and I want you to tell the American people, what exactly did you find out through your research? And if you need to use my name, what you thought maybe I did, or what you thought maybe Mike or Brian or Marcus or anybody did, use their name, say, I thought they did this, but now I found out that they didn't. Clear the people, clear the names of the American people, finally. After 6 months, just clear their names. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, no, and then this all started with me. After I did get kicked out of Hagerstown. After asking a bunch of questions, I was asked. By Mike to come in and help out with the People's Convoy, and I started looking at things a little bit different at that point. I seen the buses and I seen. How the money was being spent. I didn't know who Lee Dundas was, Christopher Marston. Our team started finding out they had, frauds part of their, they had committed fraud in the Aflac group. Pamela Malachek, she still has a warrant out for her arrest right now. She's the CFO of the Aflac group, and she has a warrant out for arrest in Texas right now for fraud, for stealing the identity of her grandmother. So we started diving into it a lot more, and then now once I found out who they met up with in Puerto Rico, James Heckman, I'll start with him. You look into the guy, and he's had several different companies and media companies over the past 30 years. They've always been more on the debt side than than the income coming in. And he sold these companies to big companies like Fox, where he was offered a chief strategy officer position that he held for 2 years, Yahoo, where he was a global chief media strategist. And then in 2016, he started the Maven company, which started buying up companies like Sports Illustrated. They started buying into the History Channel, Maxim magazine. They're tied to a lot of media groups, and which in the beginning of February, the reason they were at the stock market ringing the bells, they changed the name of the Maven Group to the Arena Group. And I'm not really sure why they did it at that point, and they were reaching out to the convoy, in hopes that, maybe it was going to help boost sales with their media companies, if they had, firsthand knowledge of everything that was going on. That's all speculation. But you look into the Arena Group, and they're actually owned 39% of that company is owned by B. Riley Financial. And B. Riley Financial, the majority stockholder of that company is BlackRock. And now if nobody knows who BlackRock is, that is the institutional investment company that the elite use to control pretty much everything in the country. You look into any major
not just
every
the country,
industry,
Ross,
the, country.
The complete world. They have over $10 trillion in assets. $10 trillion in assets. What the People's Convoy was, ladies and gentlemen, before Ross continues, the People's Convoy was the movement that could change the status quo of the elite versus the people. And they successfully infiltrated it and changed the status quo back into their favor. That was what the People's Convoy was, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't believe it, go do your own research. Trust me when I tell you this, that BlackRock and anybody involved with the World Economic Forum, they're not good people, and they're not looking out for your best interests. Trust me on that. I apologize for interrupting you, Ross, but I when you mentioned BlackRock, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, This kind of information will get a bullet in my head, and I don't give a fuck. Just kind of like I don't give a fuck about Brian Bondi. Brian Bondi is a piece of shit, and so is BlackRock, and so is the World Economic Forum. But go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, no, and as pissed off as I am after, you know, gathering all this information about what actually happened, and, you know, and the division and everything it caused between all of us, finding out that it was all on purpose, you know, they want to come after me, come after me. I'm ready. You know, I think it's about time that the Americans stand up to the elite, which is the fourth branch of government, and when it's supposed to be us, that's the fourth branch of government. The people are supposed to be the fourth branch in our government, and we've been replaced by the elite and the corporations, and it's my belief, you know, after a lot of research that we've done, that, you know, almost every movement, left or right, has been hijacked by some elite group to make it where they never reach the goal that they're wanting to reach. That's why there's never actually been a real change in, you know, 20, 30 years. Nothing's ever actually been accomplished by the people, is because we've let the elite come in and steer us in the direction they want us to go in. And you know, there's, you know, Peter Schiff, you know, the House, you know, the guy that owned the house they stayed at in Puerto Rico, you know, I believe there's a reason why they were being listened in on, you know, they were, you know, the house is bugged or whatever, you know, all their conversations, they knew what was going on. This guy was under investigation by the FBI and the IRS for money laundering. And he just settled a week ago with the IRS for $66.7 million for laundering money. And now if this all came out, you know, in a way that was harmful to, you know, the organizers of the convoy, this would ruin their reputation, because this would, you know, add on to all the different conspiracies that everybody has right now about them stealing money, you know, and who they were involved with from the beginning. You know, that's one of the reasons I think this is so important, that you know, these guys are finally coming out and talking about this, is because the finger's been pointed at them for the past 6 months. And we've wasted the past 6 months. The past 6 months, we could have gathered the information on these people and gone after them like we should.
Yep.
And you know, the more you look into these people, you know, the more you find out, you know. And I don't think this is something that we should let go. I think this is something that you know, we start organizing and we go after them.
You know what, Ross? I agree with you. I've said very publicly that I will never, ever be involved with anything ever again because of the People's Convoy, because of how I've been attacked for the last 6 months. And Mike and Marcus, I'm sure, feel the same way. But I think now, in my opinion, I think it's time to really stand. In my opinion, and I'm ready. I'm ready. I know it's going to cost me my life. And people are like, "Oh, for God's sake, you're a conspiracy theorist." If you know the things that I know, the things that I've spread, why I've been banned off of every social media app that is existent. Why? Ask yourself the question. Well, because you're spreading misinformation. No. Because I'm spreading the fucking truth, and you dumb motherfuckers don't want to believe it. And you listen to people like Brian Bondi. Brian Bondi has never done anything for the American people. He's never done anything for the Canadian people. He's never done anything for his hillbilly fucking relatives. That's the truth. What has Jeremy Johnson done? He's tried to stand. What has Mike Landis done? He's tried to stand. I've watched Mike in a Senate hearing. I believe was it a Senate hearing, Mike, that you were involved with the ELDs when you said you don't follow the law.
Yeah, I was at one of the listening sessions in the FMCSA building, and my company that I own ended up getting audited because of what I said, not because I had a bad safety record, but because of the words that came out of my mouth.
Exactly.
Could you go into more detail about the USTA? You know, there's so much speculation by people that don't understand the FMCSA and don't understand trucking, and they want to come up with these conspiracies on the USTA, even though it was a 501c6 which you looked into, nobody can take a salary. There's people trying to say that for years you guys were taking a salary from donations in the USDA.
Yeah, that's laughable.
Is that correct? Right.
Go ahead, Mike.
People
think that. No, it can happen. It would be illegal to happen. And we had a lady that is the accountant that can, prove that as to otherwise, that all the money that was brought in was used for, certain things to run the website. We went to a couple of truck shows and had a booth set up. That cost money to do all that. It was for traveling to D.C. Every month we would park our trucks and go to D.C. for like 3 days, okay? Now, for me, I don't live that far from D.C., so I literally parked my truck for 3 days, sometimes four, depending on how late we got out of there, right? But like Kevin, he is from South Dakota. It would cost him a whole week's worth of work every
And by the
month.
Way, let me interrupt you once again. Kevin Steichen, I stood up with side by side. He rode with us in a slow roll to South Dakota State Capitol to stand up against platooning, which is autonomous, basically autonomous technology in South Dakota. Kevin Steichen has also stepped up and stood up for this industry and for the American people. So I want that to be known so everybody understands who Kevin is. I mean, and Kevin is no longer in the business. But anyway, go ahead, continue on, Mike.
Yeah, so, we and all that money from the donations where we had, you could be a member of it, right? A yearly fee to be a member was $50 a year. That all went to getting to D.C. Like, they'd all meet at my house, and then we would drive generally one of my vehicles, or we'd take Brian, had a minivan at that time, we'd take his van or whatever. And we would go there for these 3 days, and we would meet with congressmen, senators, safety advocates even, sometimes the Teamsters, the FMCSA. And we would try and give this perspective of what it's like as real truck drivers that are out here doing the job, currently doing the job, right? You take Todd Spencer from OIDA. The dude ain't been in a truck in, 20, 30 years, something like that. You don't have a clue what it's like to drive a truck out here today. And I've been in Senate hearings where he's at, where he had the opportunity to say what really needed to be said and set people straight, where there was misinformation put out, and he doesn't. OIDA's a joke, but that's another story. And so, we couldn't pay ourselves. It's illegal as a C6, but we could use that money to fund what we were doing. Dude, that one time, Marcus, how many freaking things did we print out and take to every freaking 300 and some rooms or whatever, offices or whatever was in that one building? We dropped the flyer off at every freaking one of them that one time. Like, so
yeah.
Not only did we go down there and we took time away from our families, we took time away from our jobs. So we had loss of income, and we didn't have anything coming in. We did it because it's what we believed in. And number one, we were our own lobbyists. We were probably the best lobbyists money could buy, we'll put it that way, because we actually do what we were there lobbying for. You have no idea the kind of respect we got from a lot of people when we'd go in and start talking to them, and we'd start telling them about what we do, and they'd be like, oh, wait a minute. You guys actually drive trucks, and you're here doing this? Yeah. Wow. We don't ever talk to people that actually do what they're here fighting for.
Mike? I have a friend. She's probably your friend, too, on TikTok. I don't want to say her name. Okay, I'm not going to say her name. She has a very close relative that is in the FMCSA. And she messaged me one night privately, and she said, keep doing what you're doing. They're paying attention. And she told me who her relative was in the FMCSA. She sits on the board of directors. They're listening to us, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to know the truth, I am one of those people that is on the very raw side of our advocacy. Mike and Marcus and everybody that was involved officially with the USDA were people that were trying to word things, how do you want to say that, correctly, nicely, to our government, to our senators and our congressmen. I am that guy that is raw. I'm the one that says, fuck you. I am the one that says, fuck Brian Bondi. And I don't give a shit because I'm not here. I'm not here to get recognition for what I do. I'm here to stand up for all of you, and I'm doing it in Jeremy's style, Jeremy's raw ways.
We were representing the trucking.
You guys were representing the trucking.
Can we hear that one more time?
Fuck Brian Bondi and fuck
the
government.
That's what I want to hear.
That's Jeremy Johnson in the raw right there. And you know why I do that? Because I am truthful. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about whose feelings I hurt. I will tell you exactly what I feel. And Mike and Marcus and Brian have been the guys that have been trying to do it the right way for a very long time, along with the guys from 10-4 on DC. They deserve a little bit of your respect. You know why? Because they've been trying to play the game your way, the way that the media and the government has told you that you need to play the game this way or we're not going to listen to you. I'm the guy that comes around right around the backside and says, fuck you, fuck your game. I'm not playing your game. Fuck you, fuck Brian Bondi, and fuck you again. That's me. And you can love me, you can hate me, and we get a little bit of laugh because these guys know who I am. That's who I am.
So the USTA was never involved. It's not anything that is ongoing. It's never been involved with conjunction with the TPC, with the People's Convoy. But the USTA
was closed down before the convoy was ever a thing.
Right. It didn't fund the convoy.
Speaking of the USTA, though, let's talk about Washington, D.C. in 2020 when a group of us sat on Constitution Avenue for 21 straight days. Mike Landis was involved in that with the USDA. And I remember vividly having a conversation with Mike. Mike, I think that you should be our spokesperson because I believed in Mike and I still believe in Mike. There was a certain person that showed up and he sat in his truck like he was king fucking whatever you thought he was. And I'm going to mention his name.
There
were
two of them in two different fucking trucks.
Well, I'm going to talk about one. Tonight's the night of truth, ladies and gentlemen, and fuck Brian Bondi. Let me get that out first, because I don't think I've said that yet. Charles Claiborne, you piece of shit. You come in Washington, D.C. in 2020, and you come and drove your fucking company truck in there, and you sat there right by the guard shack of the Secret Service, and you sat in your truck like you were King fucking George and expected everybody to come and suck on your ball sack. You are a piece of shit, too, you motherfucker. You've always been a piece of shit.
Can I please?
And you always are going to be a piece of shit, and I will call you out every fucking time from now on. Fuck you. There's the real Jeremy Johnson. There we go.
Can I say something about? Can I say something
Absolutely.
About this? I want. We heard Ross Justice talk, give a lot of information. Everybody's heard a lot of information tonight about the convoy, the People's Convoy, and please understand.
Yeah, we didn't even get to the start of the convoy yet.
Yeah, but please understand all these things were happening, and I can't. I don't want to forget to mention, okay, throughout this entire thing, there was the people. There was the public. We had our social media platforms that were up and running. We had people asking. And I have to give credit to those who are working the social media platforms, namely Rebecca and Chris. They were going batshit crazy because we couldn't give them pertinent information. And prior to me being in Puerto Rico, I was with them. I was like, why aren't you guys calling us? We need updates. Like, people are going crazy. We need updates. When I got to Puerto Rico, then I understood why they weren't giving updates. And so for the girls and the guys that were working behind the scenes tirelessly throughout the entire convoy, but especially through that period, there was so many unknowns, there were so many questions and so many just things. We got to show our appreciation to those people, namely Chris Young and Rebecca. She was doing the telegram and Chris was doing the Facebook.
Wendy and Rose and were also on there moderating everything with them.
Yes, yes.
Can I ask a question? I like that.
You guys got to stop for one second. I got to read you this text message I just got. You're gonna laugh. Maybe even piss yourself or shit yourself. every time that I say fuck Brian Bondi, yeah, right, okay. So this one person that's listening to the radio show, it said stop, please stop. Every time you say fuck Brian Bondi, I take a shot of whiskey. I threw up 4 times already. Hey, Brian Bondi.
Yeah. So
fuck you, motherfucker.
So one thing that we ran into a lot was the telegram was just a. I didn't like telegram, but nevertheless, we had a lot of people that got their information from telegram, and the thing about Charles Claiborne is he did so much wrong on telegram. Charles is a huge reason that we had to delete the 50 states. So thank you, Charles Claiborne. You're
Charles Claiborne showed up in Washington, D.C. In May of 2020 because he was paid to be there. You know why or how? Because they created a new organization shortly after that called UTA. Not the USTA, UTA.
No, I know, yeah.
If you don't think that fucker wasn't there for his own benefit, you're lying to yourself. Charles Claiborne is a piece of shit. And so is Brian Bondi.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to the people behind the scenes that work diligently and tirelessly trying to keep the public up to date, up to speed with everything as much as possible. And hopefully this now gives them an idea or kind of shows them that there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes. There was a lot of reasons why we couldn't give updates and why they didn't get updates from Chris and Rebecca and Wendy and them. And I just want to say thanks. I think they deserve a hand clap. They deserve a bow.
It was absolutely
so amazing to have them work like that throughout the entire course of the convoy, dealing with all the trolls, dealing with the crap, putting up with our crap. And they helped out throughout the entire convoy, maybe not out front and center of everybody, but they were there. They were played an integral part of the entire convoy from start to finish. So
let me interject right now, Marcus, with a story about somebody that was involved with the main planning, and her name was Cam, and she is now involved with Marcus or not Marcus? I'm sorry, I apologize. With Brian Bondi, the piece of shit Brian Bondi, Tony was on the phone with me that night while I added him in. I was already on the phone with Cam. Her name is Cam. And you guys all know Mike and Brian, or Marcus, you guys know who Cam is. I'm gonna tell you something that you guys didn't know about her. She called me one night after the convoy, and she started talking about, this was after I went down to Hagerstown to join you guys. And she said, if you knew that Puerto Rico was a bad idea, why did you join Hagerstown?
And I told her, I said, because my friend Lisa Schmidt called me on the way back from a load that I was under in North Dakota and said, you need to see this. You were part of the beginning of this. You need to see what's going on. And I drove my truck back to where I live. And I decided I'm going to go and join you guys. Yeah, there was a lot of hard feelings throughout that because there's a lot of things that happened that it was hurtful. Because I've known for myself throughout all of this, I've always stood up for what's right. And now hearing your guys' story tonight, it helps me deal with, you know, the hurt feelings that I had. And Lisa and Lee Schmidt are two people that really are dedicated to the industry, the trucking industry, and to America. And to continue with this story, and Tony can jump in whenever he wants. As I was on the phone with Cam, and she asked me, why did you join? And I told her, because Lisa Schmidt told me I should be involved. So I decided, because I trust Lisa and Lee, I'm gonna go down there and see what it's all about and join, you know, this movement. Tony called in the middle of that conversation. And I said, hey, wait a minute, Cam. I said, Tony's calling. I'm going to add him in. She goes, I'm not comfortable with that. I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm adding him in. If you don't like it, you can hang up. And she decided to stay on the phone. On that phone conversation, Tony, if you remember, let Tony finish this conversation because I think it's important for you guys, everybody, to hear from Tony's perspective, what was said when I added Tony on? And Tony, if you're there, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'm still here. That's when all the accusations were flying about how much money was missing and who took it and all that stuff. But I asked at one point, I said, how do you know that there was $10 million raised? And I said, all we had to go by was what that ticker said that was on the webpage, and you're coming up with something way, way more. Well, it'll all come out, she said. And I said, she goes, were you there? And I said, no, I was on my way, and my truck broke down, and I never made it. She goes, well, did they pay for your truck repairs? I said, no, I wasn't with the convoy. And she wouldn't listen to that at all. All she kept saying was, well, we've been told that there's a bunch of people that had breakdowns and problems, and the convoy never took any of the money and helped them and blah, blah, blah. And she kept beating the same drum about this $10 million that was raised. And, you know, it was ridiculous. I mean, she was sounded like somebody that was fishing or somebody that was scorned for some reason and was throwing out a bunch of fake accusations and bullshit. And I explained to her.
She asked me and Tony the same question three different times while we were on the phone. Why did I go down there after I knew that Puerto Rico was not a good thing? She asked me that three different times, and I answered her three separate times why I went down there, because Alicia Schmidt. And Tony answered her the same, basically with the same wording, without being coached. And it irritated the fuck out of her. Like, I'm not here to coach anybody to tell you the truth. The truth is the truth. And I told that to her. I said, you know, there's one thing that you need to understand, Cam. And fuck Brian Bondi. I don't have to lie. And I don't have to worry about covering myself up and fuck Brian Bondi. That I don't have
to
worry about.
He just passed out and fell off his chair.
But when you're telling the truth, You don't have to worry about slipping up, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bottom line. That's the whole reason for this whole radio show tonight. And thankfully, Mike and Marcus joined this show tonight. I'm going to tell you one thing about Mike and Marcus. We had a very heated conversation before this radio show where I screamed and I yelled. And I think they understood the fact that I've been being attacked for the last 6 months for unduly, whatever you want to call it. There's no reason for it. I believe is why they joined the radio show tonight, and I can't thank them enough for coming on here and defending the truth. Not just me, but the truth. And what you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is you live your life and you go to the grocery store, you go down to the 7-Eleven, whatever the fuck you do, doesn't matter. You have no idea what Marcus, what Mike, what Jeremy, what Tony, what any of us go through to stand up for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been through the fucking ringer being attacked. And you say, well, you don't need to use that kind of language. Listen, until you have been attacked the way I have, then you can just shut your fucking mouth. I don't give a fuck if you're offended by the language I use. I use that language to get through your head that I have been attacked. So that's what I have to say. But, before I let you guys continue, fuck Brian Bondi. Okay, go ahead.
I got one more thing to say about USTA, elaborating on what Mike was saying. You know, USTA was the most amazing thing. I will defend it till my dying day. Being a part of that and what we accomplished and the way we woke up D.C., was amazing. OIDA came right out to bat and was taking the same kind of pictures we were taking in the halls of on the Hill. They were trying to be relevant after we started our organization. But, you know, we had a parking proposal that we proposed, a pretty badass parking proposal that we sent all over the Hill, both on the House and the Senate side, and to all the safety advocate groups and all things like that. We're anti-ELD. We fought against it. We fought hot and heavy and hard on that. Oftentimes, there was two or three of us that could go to D.C., and everybody else, all of us or other board members, we split the cost because there wasn't money to pay for our trips to go. I added up the cost memberships and everything, and it totaled somewhere around – it totaled less than what one trip would have cost us. So for anybody to think that we were using anybody – taking advantage of anybody's money there, we were actually pulling out of our own pockets to fight for our industry and for overreach and overregulation in the trucking industry. It was a struggle. We continued that. We continued on. We just did what we had to do. And so that kind of is USTA in a nutshell. For a lot of people that didn't know about that or know where or when, I would say that I'm familiar working at a federal level. That was how I worked at a federal level, and Mike as well. We worked in D.C. under the USTA. So that's what I have to say about that. I know Ross had some questions,
Marcus,
about that.
I have to interrupt you one more time because I just got a text message from somebody that says that they're donating $5 to charity every time they call Brian Bondi a piece of shit. So I'm going to spend the last 31 minutes of my program calling Brian Bondi a piece of shit and make sure that they have to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
No. Listen, the bottom line is Mike and Brian Brazzi and all of you guys. When I say we, the Disrespected Trucker, even Black Smoke Matters, even though Black Smoke Matters goes about things a different way, and a lot of people don't agree with, but there's a lot of people that do agree with. Marcus, Mike, and Brian, and myself, and Tony, and I have Sean McIntosh on the phone, who was one of the original members of the Disrespected Trucker, and I'm going to let him speak before we are done here tonight, because I think it's important that he does. But we have all stood together, if you want to say it that way, maybe not at all times, but we've all been fighting for the same things in different manners. And the People's Convoy turned out to be it was, honestly, here's my opinion, it was horrible. It was horrible about because of the things that we had to go through in the background, and it was horrible for you, Brian and Mike and Marcus, for the accusations that you have had to endure. I've watched you, Marcus, on TikTok. I'm not going to say your TikTok name because I don't want to bring any negative attention to you, but you guys have done nothing wrong. None of us have done nothing wrong. We have tried to do things the right way, and we have received a lot, if people even understood when I say a lot, of negative attention and backlash. And in my experience, the last 6 months, I've had numerous death threats, including violent videos, and fuck Ryan Bondi. There's another $5, by the way, to the donor, from people that sent me a video of a Hispanic person getting shot in the head, a live video, trying to intimidate me. I want you to know, Antifa, fuck you. I want you to know the government, fuck you. And I want you to know anybody that tries to intimidate me, fuck you. I have been brutally attacked, and I need people to stand up and defend me, which Brian and Marcus, or Mike and Brian are doing, or Mike and Marcus are doing right now on this radio show. Thank you. And from the bottom of my heart, I mean that. Thank you. Because this is what we need to do for each other. And there's numerous other people involved in the People's Convoy that I will defend at all costs. And Brian Bondi, you're a piece of shit. I want to bring on Sean McIntosh. Sean, your mic is up. If you're still listening, if you want to get on here, and why don't you tell people what you wanted to say?
All right. Well, first off, I need to tell everybody that Chuck Biddles is on here, but his battery run out, and he had to drop out. He said, fuck the government, and loves all y'all. What I want to say is I'm old school all the way. I've been that guy that'll stand up, tell everybody, get fucked. I don't even care. Never have. Ask Mike. Ask help. Ask anybody on here. They'll tell you right quick. I'm that guy that'll stand up, tell you, get fucked, especially Jeremy. Me and Jeremy and Tony started the Disrespected Trucker, and I was that guy. But I'm going to tell you what. A lot of things happened on this convoy, and it wasn't just this convoy. It was other convoys, and I'll be the first one to stand up to say, and I want to say it right flat out because I don't believe in missing words. The fucking Freedom Convoy, now the People's Convoy was straight up. The Freedom Convoy was a lying piece of shit that what they done was used us and used you guys in the people's convoy to make a fucking money trap. This is firsthand knowledge, guys. This is how all this shit got spread. Every one of them fucking people's convoys, they had the Freedom Convoy that came out to reinforce you guys. I was part of it. I led people out there. These motherfuckers stole the money. I personally know from the convoy I was on, that over $35,000 cash money was vanished in the middle of the fucking night. So this is how the rumors about the People's Convoy money grab bullshit got going. It wasn't nothing about these boys. All of us that were in this were in it from our fucking hearts. I've been in this truck and fight for years with these guys. I didn't agree with them. Sometimes I stood with them always. I told Mike to get fucked. I told everybody else to get fucked because I didn't agree with what they went for. But I stood. I never backed down. I never fucking missed words, and I always spoke the fucking truth. I stood. I was not. Me and Mike were friends, and me and Mike and Chuck Biddles and Jeremy, we're all part of another little group that are brothers. We're brothers. We're brothers of the Boulevard. It don't make a fuck what our views are. We're still brothers.
Damn right,
I could call Mike up. That's right. I could call Mike up and say, or send him a message and say, hey, man, I'm in your area. I need a mechanic. He sets me up with a fucking mechanic. He can do the same thing with me or anybody in our little group. That's brothers. When this happened, we all stood together. And I'm going to tell you what. That when we went to California, Brian Brazzi was in the Capitol talking to him, and they told him we need to go to the state level. Chuck broke off and headed for California, and I already knew that. That was something we've all said it. Marcus, I have to give you credit for that because, by God, you said it. We all said it. We got to take it to the fucking state level. Fuck Brian Brondy. Just for the hell of it. I said,
fuck Brian Bondi, you dumbass motherfucker.
Yeah, well, that too. I'm trying to keep on line here. I'm an old man and I lose track. But I said, Chuck said he's going to fucking do Sacramento, and I said, all right, we'll do it. Well, the People's Convoy come out there. We all got together somewhat. I'm going to tell you guys what. I saw real live brotherhood in the state capital of California. We were all out of there. We'd already been down there for the protest. We tried to. We thought we got them to stop voting on that bill. We left out of there kind of holding our heads high, and Mike and the People's Convoy was with my little convoy, and they were leading us out to where we stayed for the night. And we got on the somebody got on the radio and said they're voting on it now. And I said, fuck it. I'm turning it around.
Sean,
of the convoy,
hey,
X-ray,
Sean, let me
yep.
Just interrupt you for 1 second. I want to take a vote between Marcus, you, Ross, Tony, Mike, Landis. I'm going to nominate somebody for the most honorable person that was involved with the People's Convoy. It's actually two people, and that is Trucker G and his wife, Marianne. I nominate them as the most honorable people that you will ever meet in your life. I'm going to bring the vote to Marcus.
I'll have to say
Marcus.
I second that.
Marcus, what say you?
I'm sorry, I missed part of that. Go ahead.
No problem. I said I'm gonna before we I let Sean continue. I want you to second my vote, or you nominate somebody new. But my nomination for the most honorable people in the People's Convoy, involved in the People's Convoy, is Trucker G and his wife Marianne.
Oh God!
Would you,
man? There was so many good people, so many good. I don't know if I could just pull out one. Trucker G and Mrs. G are amazing, amazing, incredible people. I mean, right now, yeah. I mean, I could just. There's so many people, so many names I could say that were just amazing people to be a part of the convoy. But yeah, I'll go with that.
But
Yeah, okay. That's all I was looking for is the agreement that they're stand-up people. I know their name got bashed too, and they didn't deserve it either. Sean,
oh,
what say
wow.
you?
I can't.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think G and Mrs. D were straight up all along. They were there for the right reason.
And Ross? Just maybe? Okay, no. Tony?
Here I am. Sorry, I had my phone muted. No, I think the G's are great people. They've been, doing, trucking advocacy for a long time. There's a piece to this that we haven't really got to yet, and I don't want to mention his name, but there was at a point, up until Hagerstown that the online donations weren't available to the convoy. And there was someone that actually paid for the diesel and everything that the cash donations didn't cover that I believe that he deserves a shout out. I met the guy one time, but that's up to Mike if he wants to mention his name, because it's not me to mention that.
All right.
I'm sorry, guys. I want to add Alan and Bonnie to that list.
Absolutely. Will you please?
Yeah.
Alan,
as far
Alan
as the guy
Kelly
that
and
covered
Bryce
our
Bonnie are two other people that I don't have enough. Me and Alan actually, just like me and you, Marcus, we went head to head. We called each other nasty names, and basically I was wrong on both accounts. Marcus showed up in D.C. in 2020 and with a trailer to feed everybody, including Secret Service. Alan Kelly and his wife Bonnie, that was when I was in my stupor of Donald Trump is the bad guy, because of the mainstream media. I'm sorry for hijacking your thought, but I felt the need to let people know that Alan Kelly and his wife are fucking phenomenal people. And so is Trucker G and Mary Ann. There's a lot of people in the background that are phenomenal people. And I'm going to include Marcus, Mike, and Brian. And I have Ross on the phone, and me and Ross have had private conversations in the last couple of days. The people that you should be bad at throughout all of this are not the people that were their names were the forefront of the movement. The people that you should be mad at are the people that inserted themselves with manipulation. That's the people you need to be mad at, because those are the ones that stole from the American people. Those are the ones that fucked you over. I'm sorry. Marcus, go ahead.
No, I don't know who said something about the gentleman that until we could get money, until we had enough cash where we could pay for the fuel and the gas fill-ups, there was a gentleman who...
That was Ross.
Okay, Ross. Yeah, so there was a gentleman who did pay, I think, like for about three or four fill-ups, but then we reimbursed him. He was reimbursed, but he floated the money for the fill-ups, and some of these fill-ups were as high as $70,000+, one fill-up. And so, that was a pretty substantial amount of money, and I don't know if he wants his name put out there, but he knows if he's listening or if he'll ever listen to this. Absolutely, that's forever grateful for him and what he did. But he was reimbursed out of the People's Convoy donation money. And then, the rest of the by that time we had cash money on hand in the field. We could pay from the donations. We were able to pay for the rest of the way in to Hagerstown with money we collected in donations. If that answers your question, Ross, I don't know if that does.
Yeah, no, I Mike told me who it is. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned or not. That's why I was leaving it up to you guys.
You guys
experienced it, not me.
I don't really know if he does or not, so for now I'm just...
No, and that's a good thing. I mean, you guys. Yeah, we don't need to. Yeah, we don't need to mention his name unless he wants to come on here, you know, publicly. Tony, what's your thoughts about?
Let me finish my thought here, Jeremy.
Yep.
I was just wanting to say, out of all this, didn't agree with some of the people. But I'm going to tell you.
By the way, this is Sean.
Yeah, the loudmouth. All right, look, the bottom line is the guys that are on this call and on this line, they were voting on it in California. I said, let's turn around. The leader of the convoy said that he was talking to Mike because he was leading Mike, and he was leading the people's convoy. My little convoy was just five guys. Mike said, fuck, we're doing whatever he's doing. And this is how it went. We turned them trucks around on a fucking dime. We didn't slow roll back to the state capitol. We didn't take the roads that say truck marked. We run in that motherfucker on brick roads over roads that said no vehicles. We parked our trucks
Sean?
Right in front. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, I have to stop you for 1 second. I only have like 14 minutes left of the show. So I nominated Trucker G and his wife, Marianne. And then Marcus nominated Alan and Bonnie, which rightfully so. I have to nominate Lee and Lisa Schmidt also. So we have three people that we have to vote on in 14 minutes.
Okay.
You gotta let Sean finish his story, though, because it's a good one.
I'll tell you what. I'll just fucking throw another name in there you can nominate, and that's Mike Landis. Because when it came up, I pulled in there. I pulled across the road. I mean, I didn't just pull across the road. I pulled up on the fucking sidewalk. Car was coming out. They said, you got to move. I said, fuck you. I just shut my truck off. And the other trucks pulled up beside me, and I heard somebody holler on the radio, hey, look to your right. To my right, a street block away on the other side, was a cab over Peterbilt. Mike Landis, and beside him was Marcus Summers. Now, those are guys with balls. They stood up. They stood up with all of us. We did something. We didn't sit around. We didn't argue about it. We didn't fuss about it. We didn't find out who's going to be out front. We all did it, jumped on it, and are damn proud of it. And I have to say, out of all this, I wasn't proud about a lot of things we've done in the past. But I was damn proud about that. And I'll stand up with Mike Landis and Marcus Summers any fucking day of the week, and Chuck Biddles any day of the week, and I'll fight every motherfucker coming at me. And you can take that to the bank.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. Them guys stood up.
Good time.
They stood right with us. We pulled right in there. We did what we should have been doing all along. That shit we should have done, guys, not in a little city like Sacramento, but in a fucking highway like we should have done long ago. Hate to be the one to say it. I know, Mike, you're Mr. Let's go do this right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm the only old school motherfucker here. The only right way is to pull them fuckers across the road and do it right. That's my say. I'm going to let y'all go on with this.
I only want to do it right.
Convoy
so long.
Was a great fucking thing. It brought a lot of awareness and brought a lot of people together. You guys done a fantastic thing. I'm glad I was part of the right part of it. And I'm
all right,
proud
hey,
to be
I just brought on John. I don't know what's going on with your phone, 6282. There you go. You fixed it. I brought you on because you asked if you should press the number one. And I have 10 minutes left of the show. And I want to make sure that you get your word in. Go ahead and say what you got to say.
You did read the text message before asking for press one, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't read the message right before that?
No.
I hate to blindside you, but I did send you warning in the message. I got a question. I got a legitimate question for all of y'all. Don't take it the wrong way. Well, I can't control
I'm reading it right now.
I can't control how you take this, but I'm trying to tell you I don't mean it in a wrong way. How you take it is how you take it. I can't control that. I believe your stories. I've heard multiple versions of this. I believe your stories and the accounts that you told us tonight. I believe them. I believe that you were blindsided in some ways by some big, big, big players. I believe all of that. But I got to be honest with you. You lost credibility with me and people like me because this is the question that I have now. And I get the whole thing with Bondi. I get it.
Fuck him.
I totally get it. Yeah, go ahead. You say it for me. But anyway,
fuck yeah.
By your own accounts, all of you, and I listened the night that Brian Brazzi was on for 3 hours, too, by his accounts also, you guys knew the shadiness, the frauds. You knew who you were dealing with. Why? Now, hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, I'll agree with you. It is. And this is armchair quarterback.
We didn't know. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew that until afterwards. Now we know. That's why we're talking about it.
No. You knew what you were dealing with before you got out of Puerto Rico. You already knew that Lee Dundas was a problem. Why?
No.
That is false.
They got out of Puerto Rico because they knew that they were frauds. So they got the fuck out of there. They were held hostage.
Right.
And then they got involved with this group in California. Now you need to listen for a second. This is my fucking radio show. They went to California because they thought they were hooking up with a group that was really for the people. Now we find out that all of them were bad. All of them. That's why they're on the radio show tonight, John. You are in bed with Charles Flavor. You are in bed with the people that have tried to disrupt every fucking movement, John.
No,
you want to have some credibility? Then you speak the fucking
them.
Truth.
Jeremy, you know me.
I will call you out every fucking single second of every day. Don't fuck with me.
I'm not fucking with you. Jeremy, you know me, and you know that I do know those people that you just mentioned.
Who called you into People's Convoy and said, you guys need to get down here and witness this with your own two eyes?
It was you.
Were you on that phone call with me?
Yes, I'll give you all the credit on that, Jeremy. Yes, I was, Jeremy. I'm giving you the credit.
Why are you trying to divide this industry once again, John? Do you care about this industry?
I have a legitimate
question. I got six minutes left on this radio show, and I'll spend the next 6 minutes calling you out.
Jeremy, the question isn't with the wrong fucking people.
You are aligned with the wrong people.
No. My question really is to Mike Landis.
Jeremy, let me answer him, because he clearly either hasn't listened too closely or just doesn't
absolutely
quite understand the series of events.
We have six minutes left. Bad John.
Maybe I'm confused, Mike. Help me out to understand.
Right, so we only have like 5.5 minutes, so hold on and listen.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'd be happy to talk
when we left Puerto Rico,
gotcha.
Other than the fact that I didn't like that Lee Dundas talked about herself a lot, we had no reason to believe that she was in any way, shape, or form bad or in this type of way. I mean, she didn't like what we were dealing with down there, and she wanted us out of there. She helped get us out of there. And we went and met with her and Chris Marston, that runs the AFCLF, at his house in California. Now, it wasn't until probably 2 or 3 days into the convoy where we started questioning her and the claims that she made on how she could help us and all this. I mean, she, you know, she would talk about how she can, you know, she can set up fueling points and she can do this and she has people that can do that. And you know, we all ended up doing it ourselves. These people never helped us one freaking iota. Okay. And the freaking tour bus that everybody loves to bitch about all the time, that was her. She got that. She was supposed to donate that. Okay. And ended up after she got pissed off and we kicked her out in Indianapolis because
she was
a liar.
I got 4 minutes left. I have 4 minutes left and I have to ask one question. Hey, John, did you pay for Charlie Claiborne? Did you pay for Charles Claiborne to be in Mayday in 2020?
Hey, that's where you guys were just a little bit confused. There was an overlap there.
No, did you? I'm asking a yes or no question. Did you pay for Charles Claiborne to be in?
Johnny Florian and the whole UTA thing kicked off right after Mayday.
I've lost all my fucking respect for you, you asshole. I'm glad you called
it. No, it is.
And Mike, go ahead.
He was driving.
Go ahead and finish what you wanted to say. Fuck off, John.
I facilitated him to be there. He was driving my truck at the time, but the UTA
exactly
thing
you did. You fucking asshole. You paid for him to be there. Fuck you. There, here's the truth.
Can I say,
Mike,
can I say
go
something?
Ahead and finish.
Can I say something? I'd like to say something. Lee Dundas is a con artist.
Yes,
she knows how to get people going in the right direction. No matter what, they start doubting her, she's going to come up with a way to reassure their confidence in her. And that's exactly what she did the entire time. That's why she went from James Heckman to Christopher Marston and to take them all the way to D.C. It's psychological manipulation. That's what she studied. She studied for, what, 20 or 30 years now. She studied this to be able to manipulate everything.
You fucking scam artists in the trucking industry, you're not going to get by me anymore. John, you're one of them. And you're closely associated with Charles Claiborne. Fuck him, too. And fuck Brian Bondi. Fuck all of you. You want to laugh?
Yeah,
you think
Will
it's funny?
Too.
I don't know that because I don't have no evidence. But I'm going to tell all of you. John, all of you, don't fuck with me because I will call you out and I will publicly call you out and I don't give a flying fuck.
I'm not.
You're
not
a piece of shit, John. You're a piece of shit.
Can I ask one more question before you cut me off to Mike Landis?
No. I ain't going to cut you off. My radio show is going. It's done in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Mike was trying to explain to you,
one last question, Mike.
And you know what? All of you motherfucking naysayers, go fuck yourselves. You know why? Because you have never stood up. You have never stood up like Mike and Brian and Marcus and I. We put ourselves out there, and all you guys can do is criticize people. John,
I used to respect you.
I am so sorry that I respected you at one point. You are a piece of shit. Fuck off.
Did she blindside you guys all the way?
Hey, welcome to the truth, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, where I don't give a fuck about your feelings.
Mike, did she blindside
you? Is that funny, John? Is that funny to you? Hey, just wait. I've got more episodes lined up. I'm gonna call you out, brother.
Mike,
I can't.
Mike, you guys parted ways in Indianapolis. You guys parted ways at right around Indianapolis. I'm asking a question.
You got a minute and 24 seconds.
Is that when you guys became aware of what she was all about and how damaging it was? Is that really the way that played out?
We were aware of it probably just a little bit before that. It became, one day you'd learn this, the next day you'd learn that, or this would happen,
right,
or whatever. Me personally, quite frankly, I got sick of her standing on my trailer telling people that
right,
we're not going into D.C. and that she's a Christian,
yes,
when I know she's a piece of shit Scientologist, and it took everything I had to not kick her straight the fuck off my trailer.
I believe what you tell me. So you're telling me that you did not know when you left California, you were not fully aware of her.
No,
the problem
that
it was.
Uh-oh.
All right.
No,
I believe
it. It became obvious as we went on, and she didn't live up to what she said she could do.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
We were trying to garner information. We didn't know who was who. we had so much stuff going on. We planned so much little.
I have to interject. I have 10 seconds left. Fuck Brian Bondi and fuck you too, John. You're a piece of shit. And you and Charles Claver and fuck all of them. And thank you guys for joining. See ya.
Who is John?
Hey, John?
Thanks, Marcus and Mike. Hey, thanks for coming out. You know, I criticize you guys a lot, and I really appreciate you guys coming out.
Thank you.
And you know, I apologize for all the bad things and everything I was wrong that I said about you guys. And I hope we can work together in the future.
Oh yeah.
After
thank
all
you.
This,
no
guys,
problem.
Marcus,
appreciate
Mike,
it.
All you boys, it's good riding with you.
Thank you. Take care, buddy. Even though you passed my ass and you didn't wave at me, you didn't even look over.
Hey, you know what? You could have let me know you were fucking behind me, you motherfucker. I'm out antagonizing Antifa, and you're running through there. Ain't that something?
You passed me.
Hey, by the
me.
Way, guys, we're
I looked over
now.
You, and you were straight ahead, man. I'm like, hi, John.